United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person.
Award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something and
Jim Baker resigned.
Hang up the list of petition frames signed by the artist and you'll find many an affordable price position. Visit us, Mark Jockley. Find the Green Wish catalog and report.
Well, I picked up the paper this morning.
Find us on Facebook. Call us 358.
Scandal seems to be running rampant.
358.
What am I supposed to do?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friz. A local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friz keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friz at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSON. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Tracy Winbush.
In the world.
And it's just good.
In the whole wide world.
Is
we should be leaving the marriage
of the
couples gather and pray for love.
And we want to hear from you. What have you read this week? What have you seen this week?
Tell me where do the children
run? Sit off this test. Because I know
well,
what's needed.
Well, they started to teach evolution.
Going in with
and creation.
How you guys doing
today?
Good. It's beautiful.
She wanted goldfish, and so she went to the pet store and she bought a dozen goldfish, and now we got a couple of hundred dozen goldfish.
So they, because I thought goldfish didn't breed.
Yeah, they're goldfish are just carp. That's all they are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
but do they eat? They don't breed inside.
Are they good eating?
No.
Well, fish only get as big as the amount of the size of the pond that they're in, too. I mean,
now, wait a minute. Now, when I get a goldfish and put it in my house, I don't see the goldfish breeding. They never reproduce in the pot.
Well, they're cannibals.
In the pot.
Yeah, they are.
So if they did breed, you really wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean you wouldn't know it?
Because basically they do cannibalize their young, so you have to actually take them out and put them in a separate area and everything.
Oh, do they really?
And it's pretty much a live birth.
No, wait a minute. Hold up. So, but you never... Hold it. They eat their young.
Mm-hmm.
That's what America does.
Of course.
Okay, just checking.
I think it's becoming our official animal. They're going to replace the eagle with the goldfish.
So we're just nothing but carp.
Or the tomcat. Goldfish or the tomcat.
Yeah.
South Carolina, what's going on? I know it's you.
You forgot to feed the fish.
Yeah.
We just reminded him.
Ooh, you should have fed the fish. So they want to know.
I've got some interesting news for you.
Thanks a lot, Icy Lord. We want to send our sympathies out to the families. Here in
the
Mahoning Valley yesterday, there were 6 young people, 8 kids in a car in an SUV over in Warren, Ohio, which is north of here. And they got in a car accident, and the SUV turned over, and 6 teenagers died at 7 o'clock in the morning. We don't know where they were coming from, where they were going to, and all the details like that. But that's very, very devastating, and that's my understanding that they are going to open up something to help with the offset of the cost of the memorializing of these kids at Huntington Bank.
Oh, you said that so fast.
Did I really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are having... you know, really, this was a sad thing. And I my heart goes out to everybody involved there because I couldn't imagine that, you know.
Question. Mm-hmm. That would be devastating.
Yeah.
Question. Have you guys been watching the Bible over the weekend? Because I didn't know.
Oh, the History Channel Bible.
I missed it again.
Oh, yeah. I'm a week behind. We get up early at my house.
Okay, because I see Lord said he, you know, he watched the one. He said he didn't realize Samson was black. Samson, are you talking about Samson?
Samson and Delilah Samson.
Mm-hmm. Samson and Delilah Samson. No, Samson. But at least he had a tan. Because Hagar should have had a tan. Hagar was Ethiopian and Arabic, and somehow.
Right.
She was not the tanny over in the Middle East. You can't be Arabic in the Middle East and not have a tanny tan.
Well, you can't be Jewish and not have a tanny tan.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At the time that this
you can't
was
be
on,
Italian and not have it.
You couldn't.
Right.
You weren't going to find
any. Wait a minute, Jeff. So what are you?
Italian.
And what?
Syrian.
You need to go find some sun, my child. Because I think you were adopted.
Yeah, it could have been.
Because you ain't got no tanny tan.
I don't.
You're pasty.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with that?
You know, it just goes to show that not all Italians are dark-skinned, nor Syrians are all dark-skinned. We're definitely sunbathers.
Persians.
Yeah.
Persians are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe that's where I get it.
Yeah, that's why they call them Iranians. Aryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hitler
yeah.
Named Iran.
Yeah.
Okay. And that means Aryan.
Right, and that piece of real estate that Iran's in was actually Persian.
Mm-hmm. So the Persians had blonde hair and blue eyes before the Germans did.
Right.
So that's why everybody's collecting
no. Oh, yeah, I mean, originally, because you have the Caucasus Mountains and the things, but it's a long story of how they came to be, but... Yes, you're absolutely correct, because that mindset came from that particular area and arena.
So you're saying the Caucasian Mountains?
The Caucasus Mountains.
Caucasian Mountains. So that's where Caucasians came from, though.
Well, that's...
I thought it was because something to do with length.
Having to do with
length? Length of what? Length of what? What are you guys talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Don't go down that highway, man. Do not go down that highway.
What are you guys...
I'm...
South Carolina, your mic is up. What are you talking about, Ben?
That's
why I said, you know, Syrian Italian, we should have some color.
Huh?
We're tan.
You know what? Listen.
Well, the,
listen, listen, I told everybody when we came in, we have a little meeting before we come on, but I told them, listen, come up with an idea, come up with some new topics. Ben, I have now.
I'm disbanded.
You were sending that?
Yes. You just stay, sit there and rock.
Sit there and rock.
Because we don't, what you come up with, we don't know what you're talking about.
You're Catholic, right, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get a new pope tomorrow?
I don't know. Depends how black the smoke is.
Or are you going to get a new pope? I'm sorry, I'm not Catholic, so.
No. Well,
but you might as well, because they control a lot. So if he gets one, we get one.
Oh, wait, is it black smoke or white smoke that comes out?
White smoke when they find one.
White smoke when they find one.
Yeah.
You're the Catholic. You should know this.
I just, you know, sometimes I wonder what the cardinals are smoking in there. That's what I wonder.
Are they gonna give you a black pope? An African pope?
Could be.
I think he is. I think it's going to be the African pope.
Could be. Don't
African
see
president,
there.
African pope.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon you're going to have an African prime minister.
They both believe in killing all folk, too. I hate to say it.
Yes,
South Carolina.
You dial the number, you push the button, and then you put me on hold. And I sound like an idiot. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I keep on going South Carolina, and you are gone into the wind with the white smoke.
Tracy, a fella called me that wants to come on your show. I was doing some show prep for you.
Oh, you're working?
He's
okay,
gonna call
you. It's right there.
I was working. Yeah, he's going to call you this week.
Okay.
All
right. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow. I've got to bring this up. Tomorrow.
Did you spring ahead? That's all I want to know.
That's a whole other issue. I sprung ahead. I sprung ahead before a head came to, before it was a head. Tomorrow we are going to have some guests on. Jackie's going to come back on with me tomorrow. I think Larry Long is going to come in with me tomorrow. Jeff will be here tomorrow. I've got a psychologist that's going to come on early. And then I've got some women who are going to, and we're going to be talking about women, and white women and black women and dating patterns. And it is going to be an interesting conversation because we tend to think one has it better than the other. It's based on a short film called Takeover. We're going to have the director on and the two cast members that are a part of the two feature cast members that are a part of this film. And so please set your clock for your lunch break. They come on. The doctor's going to come on and talk to us about some things at 12:30, and then. After that, they're going to come on with us. Melanie, Shop Top with Mel. Melanie Rudolph is going to come on here with us.
Okay.
We're going to have a packed house.
Well, you know, take some advice.
What?
Have the psychologist stay for the whole show because you're going to need it.
There's going to be like 37 personalities in this room.
Yeah. Oh, with all the women here? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
forget that. Get the psychotropic drugs. Yeah, because they're going to need
it. Water tank is right up there.
Yeah.
That's all we got to do.
You'll be here.
Like I said.
Jeff,
I'm probably going to take a handful by the time
Jeff,
so I can get through this.
Jeff, there's a reason they created body armor. Wear it.
And I'm glad the government is buying up all the hollow points because now they can't get me with
Actually, hollow points are what you... If you got the body armor on, you want them to shoot you with a hollow point.
Yeah. It's the pointy ones that go
the
straight
pointy, yeah, the pointy, I want the armor-piercing ones, trust me.
You know what? I think I just got insulted by some of you guys.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
What do you mean?
I would never insult you, Tracy.
No.
I,
oh, my.
Not all three of you at the same time, anyhow.
Oh, my.
Let me say this to you guys. I want you to understand.
See, right now, we're at even strength, guys. You know, you realize that. There's three of us and three of her.
Well, I'll put it like this. Hey, all of you guys in the studio, I'm going to laugh my butt off. I am a long way from shoeing. See, when she pull off that shoe and start smacking hands, I'm just going to laugh.
You'll hear it.
Carolina, I am very close to that right now.
You'll hear it.
This is just not.
See, that's.
This is not. You guys are not.
Do black women throw frying pans?
Oh, my God.
Do what?
I said, do black women throw frying pans? White women throw frying pans.
No, they learned it from the black women.
Oh, okay.
They learned it
No, we don't throw frying pans. We throw grits.
You throw grits and frying pans.
I don't
whatever. No, come on, Tracy. You are one black woman, and you was raised kind of strange, okay? You was in Hubbard and some other places. That doesn't count as regular black women.
Yes?
Down here, they used to take a boiling pot of water, mix it into Red Devil Eye, and a bag of dry peas.
Bang.
Yep.
That ought to be a lesson to y'all. Don't pick off the woman.
Why you think half the guys when they can escape get a white woman?
I see Lauren said the white women will not talk when mad. But the black will make sure you lose your ears off. They'll knock your ears off. Is that true?
Absolutely. Is it true?
If you want to see
it all has to come down to the black men. See, you guys let your women know that the silent treatment doesn't bother you. That's why we let them think the silent treatment really bothers us. When it doesn't, we just get to watch TV without being interrupted.
South Carolina, what are you saying up there?
Tracy,
if
you don't believe it, you find a white girl that's been hanging around sisters for a while.
I'm bringing Jackie in. You know,
and you will find out what happened.
Jackie, come back with an encore, because I need to find some folks. The conversation is really going to be deep. You really have to understand how crazy this conversation is going to be tomorrow.
That's why you need a psychologist to stay the whole time.
Pardon me?
I've been chit-chatting with Jackie on Facebook, and she's in school. And, kind of segueing into this, but they cut off the money for tuition assistance for all active duty personnel.
Yeah, I heard that.
All what?
Active duty personnel.
Yeah, tuition assistance for active duty personnel.
As of the 13th of March, at 1,700 hours, or 1,700, all funds for active duty military, that's the Army and the Marine Corps, all funds for tuition assistance cease. There will be no more.
Well, question
you
for
are
you.
In school.
Hold on. Is that because of the sequester?
Yes.
That's what they're claiming.
It's because
even though they still have the funds for it, because those are not additional funds. Those are already budgeted funds. So it's just the way the president wants to try to make people. Well, he thinks people are stupid.
Well,
a lot of them are, but not our military. Our military
is
better.
Here's the crazy thing.
They're going to blame the Republicans instead of blaming the president, because all he has to do is cut his travel budget.
Oh yeah,
or
one game of golf with Tiger.
Or how about just defunding robotic squirrels?
There you go.
Yeah.
Or turtle tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Or treadmills for shrimp.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. Guys. Come on. Is that real?
That's real,
Tracy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We don't have treadmills for shrimp.
Go to YouTube
and type in treadmill for shrimp and see what comes up.
And you know what? I got to add to this story. I was talking to a couple of my liberal friends who work at Applebee's here in town. They both got their hours cut down to 28 hours.
Oh yeah.
They lost their benefits. And everybody chain wide at Applebee's, every full time person lost their benefits and are down to 28 hours so they can get beneath the Obamacare requirement.
Absolutely.
But now let me say this: I've got to bring someone on who I heard a presentation from on last Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
last Thursday morning, and some of the downsizing that some of the corporations are doing
mm-hmm.
is. Just a way to another loophole so that they can deal with, so that they can expand their profit margin.
Well, it may be expanding their profit margin, but the reason that the employees were given was because they cannot afford to pay the Obamacare.
But that's what I'm saying.
Tax.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But it's not true. It's not true in its entirety.
Well, with Applebee's, I believe it is true because their corporate earnings were down already.
Well, no. But I'm saying it's to expand their profit margin, not because of it's going to cost them so much more.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can actually get you off, get you hours, and hire more people, then it's a juggling game that I can do, and I can get more bang for my buck and make it more profitable and more executable.
Right.
So.
Well,
and that they're a corporation, they deserve to have that right.
What the thing is
No, that's not right. That's not right. It's the corporation doesn't make it right.
Corporation is responsible to its shareholders.
But
therefore,
it is responsible to make the most money possible. You're missing my point. That's still just because I can sell you strychnine because it's cheaper doesn't make it right. And we have to be honest that corporate responsibility. The reason why we're in some of the mess that we're in is because of lack of corporate governance and responsibility of the people that work for them. And what they do is they misalign and abuse people. And they should not do that, and we should not allow them to do that. And we need to be honest about that.
I am being honest about it.
I disagree with you.
Why?
Because the only thing a corporation owes me is my paycheck that we agreed, well, we agreed on.
No, that's
absolutely
not what I said. When I work for you, I have the responsibility to be fair by you. When I pay you as an employee, I have a responsibility to be fair by you. I take on that when I say I'm going to hire employees.
Disagree.
Why, I don't have to be fair by you?
No, because when a union makes a contract, they don't have to be fair by you.
I don't need
to. They get what the heck they want. They ask you for what they want, and they put you over a barrel and say, we're going to strike and keep you from making any money. So instead of you making $5, you're only going to make $2 because we're going to take $3.
But I'm
not and we're going to do that. It's time to tell you. You don't. So why is the corporate man doubly responsible? He's responsible for a contract with you only. It doesn't have anything.
Tracy, if a person doesn't like the way they're being treated, they can just quit and go find another job.
That's the whole thing.
You sell your labor.
Yeah,
to that corporation.
That's all it is.
And
I don't
exactly.
I think
if a corporation only decides to take 28 hours of your labor, that's their prerogative.
That's not what I said.
But that's what's happening.
But what I'm saying is, but they're using it for a profit margin, not because of.
It doesn't matter. They're in business to make money.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Uh huh.
They're using it as a profit margin, not necessarily because of the Affordable Care Act.
Bottom line, if it wasn't for the Affordable Care Act, they would have never cut
right.
that.
Right. If the health care costs hadn't have gone up, the profit margin wouldn't have been impacted, and that's why they are cutting this stuff, is because the health care thing act passed, and it's cutting into their profit. So to get their profit back up where it needs to be, they have to cut.
What they're doing is, if you really look at this, not all of them. And now there are some corporations, but not all of them have to do go after their employees.
You name one company that their health care costs haven't gone up extravagantly since this passed.
Everyone has.
It's going up faster.
Walmart has not, neither has McDonald's, because they negotiated.
They don't offer them.
They negotiated with the government. So
no,
they got to carve out
in the law.
Right.
But they have a carve out in the law, but their premiums still went up by the insurance companies. They didn't carve that out. Their premium is still going up. They don't have to go by all the regulations inside of the Affordable Health Care Act, but the premiums with the insurance company still went up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and see, this is where you and I disagree, because I saw nothing wrong with the pre-existing condition clause.
I know most people don't.
And the reason being, it's like getting in a car wreck and then calling the insurance company and saying, I want full coverage on my car.
But this is the issue. Pre-existing condition, people are born with conditions. People lose their jobs with conditions. And it's not like a Cobra. When you go to Cobra, they don't make Cobra affordable. It would be different if.
Oh, I know. I paid Cobra.
So if I don't pay the same thing that I paid as an employee, so you want me to pay more under Cobra to have the suspension bridge. So what happens when the bridge no longer suspends to the other side and I lose my benefits? So whose fault is that? Is that mine?
Well, but there are other options that are available.
No, there's not.
I mean, there are cases. There are exceptions to every rule. But there are other options other than Cobra.
What?
Health savings account with a high deductible policy.
But not when you have a pre-existing condition. Did I tell you how much my medicine cost a month?
Yes, you did.
So when you have a $6,000 prescription, what do you do with that?
Well, here's the thing once again. They screwed the whole total system up for things that they could have dealt with a different way.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my point is this. They should have undone this stupid thing, and then everybody that was they should have made catastrophic illness the way to go for health care, period. Catastrophic. But everything up to catastrophic, they should have been at your own pocket.
Well, the problem with the insurance deal is we've over-regulated what has to be in a policy.
Right.
If you're 21 years old, you can get a you should be able to buy a catastrophic care policy for about $25 a month. And that covers you if you get run over by a bus or tomorrow morning you have a heart attack
or you break
your leg or you get shot. And you go to the doctor and you write the doctor a check when you get the sniffles.
And let me say this, and I agree with you, but what I'm saying is this Affordable Health Care Act, what it did was overshoot. So what it did was, it created more loopholes for profitability if you know how to work the system, the same with the tax code.
That's why it's
$2,500. This is where furthermore, you know, the first time an insurance policy was issued was to a group of teachers down in Texas, a group of workers, people that were working in order to get their health care costs down. They formed a group and they bought an insurance policy at a hospital.
And about what year was it?
Oh, I think it was the 30s or something like that.
Hey, Matt, your mic's
on. So my point is that they were employed, they were working and paying. Okay, they were paying for their own insurance. So I have no problem with people who are working and paying for their own insurance. I have problems for people who are not working and think they deserve insurance. I've got that problem. Not anybody else. I'm just saying it's me.
See, I my issue is I have a problem with anybody not working expecting anything. And,
exactly.
But let me say this. Our system of government makes it to where, you know, everyone knows that I was appointed to the Board of Elections.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Board of Elections, I now have health care. So that $6,000, I'm afraid to find out what that prescription is going to cost me.
With your health care.
With health care.
Yeah, I understand
I'm concerned because I know what it costs without, mm-hmm. and I know what I had to pay without.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they made it affordable without.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, mm-hmm. now that I have, what are they going to charge me for? Because actually, and when I go to Cleveland, when I go to Cleveland Clinic,
because I go there too.
When I know what it costs,
I do too.
No, indigent,
mm-hmm.
sliding scale,
mm-hmm.
right,
going by your. But when you have insurance,
your costs go up.
I want to know what my copay is going to be. And so, in America right now,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm saying. They have made it more loophole.
You know, I was covered. You know I was covered at the Cleveland Clinic
yes.
on my wife's policy.
Right.
No longer covered. You know it's cheaper for me now to go?
That's what I'm saying.
But
they're driving.
But they had a perfect example of a system that worked in Cleveland Clinic, and they totally ignored it.
Yes, they did.
Every hospital in this country should have a foundation behind it. Public or private hospital should have a foundation behind it, like the Cleveland Clinic Foundation. It's my understanding a family of four with no insurance at Cleveland Clinic can get assistance up to an $85,000 a year income.
Actually, you can do – there's a lot – with Cleveland Clinic, they have a great model.
Get ready.
Westtown Community Health has a great model.
Get ready to see the cost you're going to incur.
So what I'm saying is my issue is when I talk about the employee and the loophole and the Affordable Health Care Act,
mm-hmm.
what the government did, it made regulations to where there's profitability for the corporations to use.
Mm-hmm.
But not for the people who are the taxpayers, and at the end of the day, they're going to get screwed. Hey, Matt.
He should be right back.
What? South Carolina, your mic's on, too. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WWE.
He's unruly callers.
You know what I mean? The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supply, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. Six teenagers from Warren were killed in what officials say was the worst car accident in the history of Trumbull County. Eight kids were in the Honda Passport that went out of control on Pine Street and crashed in a pond. Some of the victims died of hypothermic drowning. Two survived. Police say speed was a factor in the crash. Two officers from the Cleveland suburb of Middlefield are recovering after they were shot during a traffic stop yesterday. The officers returned fire and killed the suspect. Some Ohio schools have decided that federal Race to the Top education grants are not worth it. The Columbus Dispatch reports that some 80 school districts and charter schools across the state have backed out of the grant program after winning money. Some withdrew quickly after deciding requirements were too costly, while others who have been receiving money are starting to pull out. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I forgot to put bump music up. You know, you guys are sitting there to talk about everything. You know, y'all help me out.
Hey.
Don't hate me.
Hey.
Don't hate me either. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, 44 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. And South Carolina, how was your weekend, darling?
My weekend was pretty quiet. I had the grandkids, and we just kind of chilled, took it easy.
How was the weather?
They survived it. The weather was excellent.
Are you stocking up the bunker with supplies now that North Korea has threatened us? And or do you think, like me, Obama will back down pretty soon? Because we don't have to worry about it.
Listen. No, if he backs down from this idiot, he's going to play his hand.
I bet you not only will he back down, I bet you he'll apologize.
For what?
I have no clue. It's just, that's just his M.O.
He won't apologize to this one only for one.
He bowed down and apologized to everybody else in the world. Why not the Koreans?
He doesn't have reason to bow down here. He's not going to lose face.
Lose it? He already lost it.
No, he didn't. No, to who?
You got to say the world loves it.
I don't
buy that because you get the London Times. I'll tell you how much fun they make.
Yeah.
Well, not only that. I mean, I saw Arab demonstrations where they were burning him in effigy.
How come they don't show that on NBC or ABC or CBS?
They're not going to.
I haven't seen that. And I don't have cable now. I'm poor. Oh wait, maybe Obama will buy that for me.
Isn't that a right too? I thought everything else has become
a
right.
I'm about to go get my free phone.
Jeez, oh man.
Use your job, that's what happens.
Do you have to be the... I mean, we ain't even got through the first hour yet, Ben.
You know what's great? I can use that free phone to call people and protest them on his dime.
Ben, you are too young to be a curmudgeon, man. I mean, you're kind of like... Anybody ever seen Walter?
That's...
The dummy?
Yeah. Looks like Joe Biden.
Yeah, he does look like Joe Biden. Old, angry Joe.
Wait a minute. He is Joe Biden.
This cat, Joe Biden is ridiculous.
We got a guy on trial in South Africa for shooting through a door and killing his girlfriend. We got Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States, telling people, just shoot your shotgun through the door.
Doesn't mind if your four-year daughter's behind the door. It's okay.
And then tell the other people, the lady congresswoman said, just sit back and get raped. No, you know. So
that wasn't him, was it?
No, that wasn't him. I was saying that other congresswoman.
Well, that's because
he agreed with her.
Well, the government's used to screwing us, so that's what you would expect coming from
the
government.
Taking what they want from us. So.
Yeah, right.
So it's the same spirit.
Oh, that's not the worst thing though. Feinstein essentially said that all people in the military have PTSD, so therefore they should not be able to get a weapon.
Get what?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Get what?
Yeah.
A weapon. Feinstein.
Feinstein essentially said that all military personnel have PTSD.
Well,
so therefore
they
shouldn't be able to get a weapon.
You know what I think is going on here, Sov? What is every infantryman issued?
A rifle.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of gun murders in this country are done with handguns, but they're going after rifles.
Yep.
Does that make
sense? That
makes a lot of sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense.
If you think there's an end game, especially when they're refusing to, when the whole issue of enforcing the gun laws on the books, they're refusing to enforce them.
2,700 light armored vehicles adapted to ride on the streets of...
No, 2,400.
Okay, 2,400, okay. That's still enough to do damage.
And
a billion bullets.
But if it's a government issue, you know exactly how they're going to work.
That's,
2,400
yeah,
labs, man?
What's that, South Carolina?
You said 2,400 labs? No, they don't have 2,400 labs in the military, in the Marine Corps.
They're making them right now, and they're adapting them to fit to the... to ride on the streets of America.
What I'm saying is they don't have 2,400 in the Marine Corps. What is the U.S. government going to do with those? Wow.
Don't forget what he said.
I think I'd like to have a
private army.
Private army that
would
has the same
military.
Has the same firepower as the military.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need that for, Mr. President?
Well,
I don't know. I just need it.
No, wait.
And I need it
now. He needs it just the same way that Hitler needed the Gestapo.
Well,
could not have taken power without him. Absolute power.
But absolute power comes absolutely.
Well, I think we passed that stage.
Well,
That's the stage we're past. The only thing that are holding us by a thread are the Republicans that are standing up. And I put it like that, the ones that are standing up. And the situation is that you're looking at them going after the basic things that have given us and kept our freedom.
The
Constitution, definitely, he says that's a troubled document fraught with inconsistencies. That's his quote on the Constitution. Now, I don't agree with that one, not one iota. But the thing is that's not going to make a difference. That's not going to make
the same way about the. They should think the same way about the Constitution as they do about the Bible. They want to destroy both of them.
They have to destroy it.
And how much ammunition did they buy?
1.6 billion rounds.
What do they need 1.6 billion rounds?
I think they're just trying to create a shortage. I really do. I think the federal government's using their dollars to create a shortage. You can't even find 22 shells.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a friend of mine about building a machine and manufacturing ammunition at a rate that's unbelievable.
Cool.
I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking
3D
about.
3D printers.
You're saying that sticks, but check it out. Think about it. If that's the case, then what are the 2,400 light armored vehicles made for the streets of America being made for?
Are they light armored?
Yes.
No, there's no problem.
What do you mean there's no problem?
That's no problem.
Actually,
if people don't have bullets, it's going to be a
problem. Black powder has more force than smokeless.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend's got a cannon.
So what are they doing this for is my point.
I think they're planning to actually make a police state, like, and I don't know who they're going to burn in the ovens this time. I don't think we have enough Jews to fire them up.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I think they're just going to put you in internment camps.
I think they're not going to do either one. They're going to leave you right where you are, and they're gonna control every part of your life, and you're gonna willingly go along because you won't be able to get anything.
Well, let me explain this. When Germany became a socialist state, the ghettos were filled with, and they were called ghettos, were filled with Jews, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And they burned all the people in the ghettos,
mm-hmm.
cleaned the ghettos out.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in the ghettos in America?
Mm.
Poor people.
And who are going to get cleaned out?
Poor people.
But
you have, to understand that if you look, the number 347-945-5229, it's not going to go back to, they're not going to redo it as Hitler did it.
No, they're kind of doing it now.
No.
I mean, even in the books, Obama's book and Hitler's book is outlined basically the same thing.
It's not about, it's going to be different
mm-hmm.
because they're going to learn from Hitler's mistakes.
Mm, so it's going to be more than 6 million people dead.
So what it is, it's not about killing people off and 6 million people. It's bigger than that. Now, we know that for you to be productive, you have to be industrialized.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you have to be... you have to be dependent upon a system for you actually to be beneficial to the system.
Mm-hmm.
If that be the case, then we need to realize that they're using this as a mechanism of voluntary slavery.
Exactly. And in Germany, the economy was already ruined. The Deutschmark was worth nothing.
Listen to what I'm saying. The Deutschmark was not worth anything, but
And that's what they're doing
and
to
that's
the dollar.
What,
but remember, the dollar is going to be named something else, but it's not going to be issued.
But without the Weimar Republic collapse of the Deutschmark, there would have been no Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
So you have to wreck the economy first.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they're doing.
As outlined in both Hitler's
billion plan. Dollars a month, I mm-hmm. think, is what they're printing out of thin air.
Right.
Every single month.
I mean, that's why your stock market's going.
Yeah, of course.
You've got every major billionaire in the United States pulling their money out of U.S. companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're pulling it. They're selling their dollars too.
Right.
They're selling their dollars.
All of the big players
mm-hmm.
are divesting themselves from the U.S. stock market.
And buying gold and silver.
And I've also heard that they're expecting the stock market to take up to a 90% hit.
Oh, it's going to take a hit. I mean, we've been talking about that for a while. It's going to take a hit because right now it's imaginary money.
Well, I'm talking to a very liberal friend of mine. He told me, look how good the economy is doing. Look at the markets. But what he fails to realize, if you factor in inflation, the markets are still 4% down from when Obama took office. And I just proceeded to ask for a large fry and Coke, and we'll leave it at that.
Just down 3 million jobs as well.
Of course.
And with this little paltry 200-something jobs created last week that they said were created in the last month, and then... Couple that with 130,000 people falling off the rolls. Come on.
What is driving the stock market is the same thing that drove the stock market in the 20s. And caused the crash of 29.
Right.
You have people borrowing money at 2% and putting it and speculating in the stock market, expecting it's going to go up, and getting 8% and 10% return. It's a bubble that's got to collapse. It collapses every time this happens in history. It collapses
always.
You know, those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying.
And there are a lot of repeaters.
Your elitists are not going to...
Then they're not going to feel the crunch. They want that.
No, the real...
Because that gets them cheap labor.
The real wealthy aren't going to feel this at all.
Right.
No.
It's the people that they're demonizing as wealthy that are going to go out of business.
But those people... Well, it's not the demonizing of them.
Yeah,
no.
It's the 250,000 a year
small
business
owner.
Guy. The 250,000 mm-hmm. to 10 million a year small business guys. Remember, Tracy, there are a lot of industries. If you go to the Small Business Administration website, there are a lot of industries that $10 million a year in revenue in business is considered still a small business. I don't think there's a big V&M Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you there ain't a half a dozen big businesses left in the Mahoning Valley.
But listen to what I'm saying. You guys, I mean, I think you have to understand it's more about control than it is about and productivity and greed. You got to have places.
But what you have to understand is when the masses become too massive, they've got to control that too.
We're saying,
and that's where these bullets and there's these
That's
armored
what I'm
vehicles
saying.
Come
it's
in.
It's about control, but the control has to be at the bottom. They can't control the middle until they're indoctrinated. And they're indoctrinated.
Well, they're getting rid of the sludge. What they've done is they have destroyed the independent middle class with their, with Social Security and all these other government programs.
Social Security, hold on.
You have destroyed.
I got to. We need to quit saying Social Security because people need to. We fail to realize if you look at your check, you pay. It's SSI.
But what I'm saying is, you mistake me. I didn't say it was an entitlement. What I'm saying is they took your money
and invested it
And invested it unwisely, and now they're when you get ready to be 62, there ain't going to be no money there for you to have.
That's why I call
And they told you all this time that you didn't need to be responsible for your own money because we're going to take it and manage it for you. That's what I'm trying to say.
But what I'm saying is it's entitlement.
No, it's not.
But what I'm saying is you don't understand. The Social Security was not about you. It was about underfunding the government and projects because they weren't getting enough revenue in. That's why it didn't have its own independent line item, because if Social Security had its own independent line item and not pushed inside of the general fund, we wouldn't be broke today.
Do you think that was the original intent of that?
I think so.
Guaranteed it was, because FDR, while he was selling Social Security to the American people as your own personal account, had his lawyers going in front of the Supreme Court to make sure that the bill was written so it could be called a tax. And people don't understand this. When you turn 62, the federal government is under no legal obligation to give you a nickel.
Back of what you put in, you have your own money.
Right.
Right.
And you have
if any other entity in this country would have done that, people would be going to jail.
And then if you go and look at
Well, they did that to the mafia, and that's what they did the same thing.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely it's a Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And this Ponzi scheme is unregulated. That's why the federal government, their pension fund is not called Social Security. I'm taking a break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
If you own or operate a small to medium-sized business in our area, you'll want to listen to this message. On March 19th and 20th, News Talk 600 will be holding special and free branding workshops. These workshops are at Antone's Banquet Center and are designed for business owners who want to make their advertising more effective. Plus, you'll have a chance to win a $500 gas card. To reserve your free seat, call Maria Fez at 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. The Cardinals, who will decide on a successor to Pope Benedict, have wrapped up the small talk. By this time tomorrow, top secret deliberations will be well underway at the Vatican. More from ABC's Tom Rivers in Rome.
The talks are over. The Cardinals prepare to vote. After Mass in the morning, they'll start the process in silence in the Sistine Chapel. During this time, a committee of three will help keep church matters ticking over. Vatican spokesman Thomas Rosica.
This group remains in effect throughout the whole conclave. Their purpose is to assist the secretary and the head of the College of Cardinals for any decisions that might need to be made.
They'll continue until the white smoke appears, signaling a new pope's been named. Tom Rivers, ABC News, Rome.
He was once a prominent politician with a bright future. Now, former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick is headed back to jail, convicted on corruption charges today for rigging contracts, taking bribes, and political donations for personal use. This former Detroit Utilities employee says Kilpatrick deserves to go back to jail.
He stole from some of the poorest people in the country. With no remorse. No remorse at all.
Kilpatrick left office in 2008 over a sex scandal involving an aide. A lot of buzz about Lean In, the book by Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg that goes on sale today. It's about women in the workplace, things that hold them back. It starts with attitude, she says.
The men, they're always, you know, in my office, I want the next job, I want the next opportunity. The women lean back more. And when I say, you know, you should apply for this, some of them say things like, I'm learning in my current job, and men never say that.
Former tennis star Jennifer Capriati has had her share of struggles on and off the court. She's now facing allegations that she punched and otherwise harassed her boyfriend.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Sally.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, not much in South Carolina.
Did you see the CNN documentary yesterday that talked about the healthcare, that we have one of the worst healthcare? That was a big, I think a 2 hours, almost 3 hours documentary that was amazing, that talked about the problems that we have, that talked about there was doctors, there was insurance company, it was crazy that we have 60% of people are overweight, that we have so many people that don't do preventive care, that we do too much operation, that we're basically a country that's being greedy, and that we're basically a country that wants to take from the people who are sickest. Very, very, you should watch it. It was very, like...
Well, I'm going to look at it, and I'm just curious of who did it. But when they come back, tell them I had to go, and I'll be back, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Stan, this is Matt.
Yeah.
Just a little friendly heads up. Your mic is kind of cutting in and out again, so...
Again? Jesus.
Yeah, you may want to try to correct that.
I don't know what's happening with my laptop again. Did you see that documentary, Matt?
I just threw on the headphones and you were finishing up about it. What was that about?
It was a great documentary that CNN did about our healthcare. That is very... It's not as pretty as you think. It's not the best healthcare in the world. They were doing that with the doctors, insurance company. It was a whole nine yards, everything. That they were showing, like, we have 60% people overweight in our country.
Oh, yeah, that I believe, absolutely.
You know, it's crazy that we don't do preventive care, that we do too much operation that's not necessary, that it's not normal that, you know, that a company, an insurance company, a CEO has $1 billion when nobody has health care, that the preventive precondition doesn't work, that so many things.
Well, you know, the thing with healthcare is, and it's not going to get solved in any way, shape, or form until people really start to look at the problems of why healthcare is so costly, between healthcare and medication, why it's so costly, and that's what needs to be tackled, is the reasons why it costs, $75 for a Tylenol in the hospital, things like that. Until those issues are tackled, we're going to have a healthcare problem until the cows come home.
You know how much we spent last year? Well, $2.7 trillion.
In healthcare?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And nobody's willing to look at the issues of why it costs so much. Nobody wants to – I'm not a big fan of insurance companies, but we're spending too much time going after the insurance companies and going after the wrong issue. The issue is simply to figure out – and be honest about it, why these healthcare costs are so darn expensive. And it's not all about greed. It's not about, you know, hospitals or doctors being greed. It's not, some of it is a good, you know, even a good part of it might be. But there's no room for competition anymore. There's too many regulations, all these things between that and then lawsuits, it's out of control and it's allowed to go forward and these prices are allowed to skyrocket. So until we figure that out, we're screwed.
Yeah. And I agree with you with that part. I think it's a lot about preventive care also. We don't tell people to eat well, exercise, and people don't do it. 60% overweight? Really? We didn't have 60% overweight before. We didn't have that.
And I agree with that, my kids' school preaches, you know, they're not allowed to have snacks and things of that nature that aren't healthy. If you walk in with a cookie saying that that's your snack or whatever, they don't allow that. You're not allowed to eat it, and they give you a package of crackers or something like that. So there is stuff being preached, but then, you know, there's the line between stepping on people's rights and telling them what, which I'm going to bring up to Tracy later, telling them what they can have or what they can eat. And that's taking a fundamental right. I don't want anybody telling me what I want to consume. You know, if I feel like throwing a big greasy steak down my gullet, I'll do that. I mean, I don't. It's bad for me. But, you know, there's a fine line.
No, I agree. We shouldn't tell you that, but we shouldn't also make it preventive and say, go to the bases. We don't do that anymore. I'm sorry. In our street, there's not a lot of people who go to the – back in the day when I was a kid, there used to be people that would go in the street and play hockey in the street or do sport outside or things like that. Not anymore. Everybody's Xbox, iPhone, whatever, not moving as much.
That's true. There's a big – I've heard that tons of times, you know, especially – around my neighborhood here where they're like, kids don't go out and play like they used. Then they don't. You know, I'm sure when you were a kid and I was a kid, I was out from, you know, on the weekends or during the summer, I was out from, you know, 8-9 in the morning till 8-9 at night.
Yeah, you would have to come and get me. I was outside. You couldn't get
right.
me.
If you came home too early, there's a good chance your parents might kick you back out of the house and go outside. It's nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then again, now you got to worry about crime. People moving into your neighborhoods and stealing your kids or killing somebody. I have all kinds of things happening in my neighborhood right now that are popping up out of nowhere. So, you know, I have to keep a close eye on what my kids do. I can't let them go a mile and a half away or a half mile on their bike. I have to keep an eye on them.
Wow. Yeah.
It sucks. It's a catch-22.
Yeah, it's a crap 20. I hope we're going to resolve it because the generation of your kids, I don't want them to have that problem. We're the one who brought that problem. The healthcare issue should have been resolved a long time ago. A long time ago. And I don't understand why it wasn't resolved.
I don't know. Too many people talking and nobody coming to solutions. It's annoying. The conversations I hear about how to get healthcare under control are just completely beside the point. And they don't make any sense.
Yeah.
they just don't. Because as these new legislation and all these new bills go into effect, things get worse. And they've been continually getting worse for, you know, 100 years.
Yeah. And even I'm telling you, even the professional and everything, when it comes to problem having weight and things like that, they don't even know what to say the truth. One says you have to eat this way. The other one says you have to eat this way. One says you have to do this much exercise. Another one says you have to do this.
You know what? I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday. About, you know, they tell you something's good for you, and then the scientific study that it's good for you, and then, you know, a couple months down the line, it's going to kill you.
It's going to kill you. And I'm
right.
Like, you know, I'm like, which one is? I just went in from the doctor, and the doctor told me I had high pressure, and I'm like, it's impossible. I'm working out 2 hours a day. I'm not eating fat. I'm not doing so. I'm gonna have to do tests again, check what it is. But I was like high pressure. I don't have high pressure. I don't have no pill. I don't have that. I work out.
High blood pressure. You're talking.
Yeah,
about.
High blood pressure. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I have a vascular disorder where, you know, they do the same thing to me. You know, I can't keep my blood pressure up too high either, and you know I get different. People telling me different things, you know, about how to get your cholesterol and your blood pressure under control, and I'm like, I don't know, you know. Threading a needle.
I saw a debate about that. I think the director of the heart institution was there. 2-3 professional nutritionists. It was like 5 people, and they were all yelling at each other. No, this way. No, you have to do this. And I was looking. I was like, you are supposed to be the best. And you don't even know how to resolve the issue.
That's why I try to put faith in common sense, you know. Even if, you know, you said you walked in and you had high blood pressure still, you know, I think it comes down to what the individual
today, people today no longer
uh-huh.
work and don't ask questions. These young, what they call millennialists,
okay.
They do not work like the baby boomers. We are a part of the baby boomers. I think some of us are the end of it.
Right.
Uh-huh. But this new generation, they're different. And if you don't treat them with respect, you're not going to get anything out of them. And I hate to say this, well, I disagree with Stanley completely.
Uh-huh.
But if I don't type, I need to treat the girl who does the typing like a person and not like a robot. See, the difference between old school management and people who come in and just are bosses,
mm-hmm.
they used to care about their employees, a lot of them.
Sure.
What has happening today is you've got people who have not worked for anything. They've been given a position, and they treat the people like chopped liver.
Well, that's because we've got this mentality of everybody's got to go to college, so everybody comes out of college, and they never had to work their way up the ladder. They get out of college and they go straight into a management position instead of having to beat their brains out to get there. I mean, it didn't used to be that people came out of college and went into foreman positions in the steel mill. You earned your way up the ladder.
And when you got
up there, you understood what it was like for the poor slob that was down there in that hole.
But the problem that we had is the poor slob that's down in the hole is the same problem with the managers, is the same problem with dating. The people in the hole won't work their way up to learn anything because they want to stay there in the hole because they become comfortable. And they don't learn how to type. See, if you know that the process is going to change, and for productivity, I've got to go into robotics, and you won't go learn how to use the robot. Hello, I need somebody who knows how to use the robot that will cause my productivity to soar, because I no longer can afford to have 1,500 people on the line when I can do it with two.
Precisely.
And so the person that was there who didn't go to college, he may or may not have the aptitude and or the desire to actually learn how to push the green button.
But the thing is, if the guy on the line doesn't demand too much money, it's not going to be profitable to put in the machine.
That's what I'm saying.
But if the
machine is going to make me profitable. If you won't learn how to work the machine, why am I going to promote you to work the machine?
Right.
Which means I got to go bring out a college degree person who can work the machine.
Well, not necessarily a college degree person.
Well,
you're
a skilled person.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah,
it's like I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend. We were talking about dating, and I said there's nothing wrong with the bus driver as long as he gets off the bus. The problem is the bus driver stays on the bus and won't come off the bus, and so all he can do is talk about the bus people.
What are you talking about?
It's an analogy, Jeff. It's an analogy.
She lost me.
Yeah, you lost me.
I just went.
That's one of the personalities came in all of a sudden, and they was conversating someplace else, and they came in a conversation.
The conversation that I had over the week, and we were talking about dating.
But hold on,
the analogy is it's about working.
Okay.
People stay in their lane so long that they will not come outside of what they're accustomed to learn something different. And so they stay on the bus.
Well,
they won't get off the bus.
But whose fault and responsibility is that?
It's their responsibility.
Yeah, so you give them a book called Who Moved My Cheese, and then let everybody start thinking about it.
But everybody does. Listen, I give a book
to
everybody, and I ask everybody to go online and take a test
for
the book.
Mm-hmm.
Of the five books that I passed out, no one took it.
Oh, well, I mean.
So what I'm saying is you can only pass it out and ask you, please take a book, read the book, and hopefully it'll change your mindset for the book.
That's what makes us so valuable, because we bring out information that makes people at least have to go to the internet and look, you know.
If they choose to.
Well, they're going to choose to. They're going to choose to because they want to know. Once you pique that interest, and see, the thing is verbally you can pique somebody's interest before just handing them a book and telling them.
Are they going to do it before one of those 14 billion Browns?
What I'm saying is going back, because I was saying people become complacent on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay on the bus. It's not about where you work and who you are. But they won't come off the bus to learn anything else outside of the bus. And it's like, you know, hey, do something else. Read a newspaper.
Don't have to.
Yes.
Then you want to simulate to society, but you don't want to know how society works.
Don't have to. Obama's going to take care of me.
Well, that's what a lot of everybody knows to think like that, though.
And true, everybody, they think that they're doing it themselves. They just want to get their check and go home. They don't want any more or any less. So when you shut the steel mill down, I haven't learned anything else. Delphi is a great example.
Well, they were evil. They were a corporation.
Delphi and General Motors had a wonderful.
Those are evil corporations.
Wonderful college program.
Yeah.
If you worked out there and you wanted to go to college, they would pay your tuition up to X amount of percent if you got a C average or above. There are thousands of people who would not. They encourage them to do that and would not, you know, go and they wouldn't go into that program.
Most medium and large companies have college programs, and they're very rarely used by the employees.
Why?
Well, because it's easier.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead. I'm going to let him know it's Michael on.
It's easier just to push the broom and collect a paycheck and go drink beer on Friday night than it is to go to college.
Three nights a week.
So when you give me a $140,000 buyout, and I don't know what to do with it, I'm broke in 6 months.
Yeah, the company was too. Isn't that strange?
No, the company's not broke. They're still moving.
Well, what I'm saying is that they sort of had a, they got a bunch of government money, taxpayer money.
Who?
GM.
I'm talking about Delphi.
Delphi got it too.
Well, Delphi's
humming.
Oh yeah.
Delphi's doing just fine.
That's because they build harnesses across the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing fine necessarily here, but they're doing fine everywhere.
They're doing fine here. They're just robotic.
My point is
they're productive.
That's my point. Productive is what you're doing. You're looking at businesses. See, business is resourceful. They're going to do. Your president has made sure that a lot of people will never get a job again, because business has been resourceful enough to learn how to work without them.
But also, have you seen the impact of overpaying unskilled labor?
Absolutely.
When you have an environment where you're paying unskilled labor the same amount of money that skilled and educated labor is making, now you're taking the incentive out of, say, a guy's got a kid, he's pretty bright, and he ought to be going to medical school, but he can get him a job working where he works, making $85,000 a year. Look at all that lost talent that's not going to go to medical school or engineering school, but is going to go push a broom someplace for an exorbitant wage rate.
But they did that. I mean,
back
to the steel mills. Go ahead. Who's that?
Stanley. It's Stanley. How are you, Tracy?
Good. How are you, Stanley?
Very good. I want to go back to what Six is saying, but the thing is, I think last week Tracy basically made us listen to something that I've been trying to say for such a long time, and I was so happy that she did it. Six, it's not because you're the top person that necessarily you should have that salary, and that means that you are the greatest person in the company you deserve to have that salary. Many people on the top just got the position because they got the position, not because you were the hardest worker, not because you deserved it, not because this and that, because maybe you got the connection. So the top person, the 1%, are not always the most productive one. We have to stop with that mentality.
Stanley, who's responsible for the profitability of a company? Ultimately responsible?
I would say shareholder.
No. The CEO is the person that is ultimately responsible for running that company. That's why he earns what he earns.
No, it's not. I want to ask a question. Say, how can the CEO be still responsible to basically crash the company and still get paid $20 million, $30 million because he had a contract?
Because he had a contract for one thing. It's the board of directors' fault
and
that he got the contract
the
he got.
Hold on. Stanley, no filibustering today. Can you just work with me on it? Because, again, it's Monday. We got everybody here. The problem with what you're saying, and I agree. I agree with both of you. Because, see, there's a lot of CEOs. There's a lot of people that you put a lot of time in. And the board of directors, they hire these people, and the golden parachutes should not be there.
I disagree.
What?
Once again, the CEO is in place for the viability of the company.
Uh-huh.
The CEO, when you see that a CEO lost $60 million or so many millions of dollars, what would it have been if he didn't make certain moves ahead of time? Because the CEO is steering a company through uncharted waters, especially when government gets involved in things. So he's trying to make sure a company runs. And if he keeps that company from going under and they only lose, and I have to put it like that, $6 billion, $6 million, $600 million, instead of going total bankrupt, he's worth his money.
Hold on, Stanley. Wait a minute. What I'm saying to you is, Jeff, not all of these guys are walking in doing the job. You got to be honest about that.
Many of them are fired too.
I mean, they're not doing their job.
Hold on, but by the time they're fired, they have lost so much. that when you look at now, when we talk about corporations at this point, and that your mic's on, and so your Alex, your mic is on also. Let's separate this. We're talking about those that have shareholders, and we're talking about major companies,
mm-hmm.
and most of them are trading. A lot of them are trading.
Okay. Well, let's use General Motors, for example.
I don't want to use General Motors.
General Electric.
I don't even want to use, just look at your Fortune 500, your Fortune 100 company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or if you want to, let's go to MCI WorldCom.
Whatever. Make your point.
We need to understand there are decisions that are made by people who should not have been in position.
How did they get the position if they shouldn't have been there?
The same way I hire people.
Yeah.
Hold on, Stanley. The same way that you hire people that you should not have hired.
There is a lot of cronyism in these boards.
Okay, if they're cronying, then that's their own fault.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is you don't know the cronies.
That's why there was a huge uprising among General Electric stockholders. There was almost a riot at their meeting a couple of years ago, when the shareholders went in and said, and went up against the board for putting Jeffrey Immelt in charge when Jeffrey Immelt was just destroying that company.
Most definitely.
So when they put him in, it wasn't because they wanted him. They voted, and it's all about when you get to certain levels. Sometimes it's about a numbers game and getting to the end of an end. You know, we act like it's not, but it is.
Okay.
Well, and
you can have a bad leader, and the bad leader can actually, if you want to use Tyco, was the toy, not the toy company, but the guy who had the $17,000 toilet seat.
Right.
Who was that?
Yeah, it was Tyco.
Was it Tyco? You got to understand, abuse of power comes inside of corporations where your shareholders have to recoup, and the people that work for them get dismissed.
But a large part of that is we've created a stock market that's more like Las Vegas than investing. People think they're investing in the stock market, and they're not. They're speculating.
Pretty much.
And they don't understand that.
Pretty much.
And so every company is looking to make money the next quarter, and they're not looking at being viable 5 or 6 or 10 years from now. Because the system that's in place rewards being successful this month and not producing a dividend for the next 25 years.
Exactly. You got it perfectly, Six. Exactly.
And so people on the – and so the SEC, who should be doing their job, when they went after everyone a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
the only person they found was Martha Stewart.
Follow
what I'm saying. And she had nothing to do with the loss of those corporations who lost all of their funding, including MCI WorldCom. You've got people who were at the top, one who shouldn't be there, and they have a golden parachute, and this parachute is they jump off the ship based on their contract, not based on their merit.
And Bernie Madoff has stated publicly that the SEC knew what he was up to.
Absolutely.
Well,
and they let him roll.
That's because they trusted him.
But they trusted him because of their relationship, and
trusted him because of his past record.
But his record was false.
No, his latest record was false. His previous record was absolutely spot on.
But
that's the whole deal.
But how long they knew? He had been under investigation several times.
Over the last eight to 10 years before they got him, yeah.
Right.
But before that, he was 100% straight up, and he was killing.
When do you stop paying attention because you're spot on, and then after 5 years, because you're so successful, we no longer pay attention no matter what type of complaints we get against you, and then all of a sudden now you have all these people who've lost hundreds of millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
and their pensions are gone because we said, and then they made off with a golden parachute because he wasn't the only one, but yet he's the only one that went to jail. The rest of them are sitting on the side drinking a mimosa in Bermuda,
yep.
with a private plane.
Exactly, Tracy. You got it.
Don't forget the yacht.
That's how I got it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to add what you're saying, Tracy, did we arrest anybody that was responsible for 2008? What happened with the Wall Street and the bankers? Nobody.
No, because they were all politicians.
About the politician. I'm talking about the bankers that took the money of people and took a chance and basically gamble like six
of them. Because they were all politicians.
Well, didn't we?
Everybody involved
is also. Damn, why you got arrested?
Wait.
There you go.
I want to bring up the point that, you know, we had millions of dollars funded and going through American banks to countries that were not supposed to obtain any money, such as Iran. And this came out about 4 or 5 months ago, and there have been no arrests made for the illegal funneling of money to countries such as Iran.
And Stanley, everybody involved in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were all politically connected. And you had a revolving door between government service and the big banks. And these people were moving back and forth and back and forth. It very much was fascistic, fascism.
Yes.
Economically speaking, fascist.
Economic fascism.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. Matt, your mic is on.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hello?
Yeah,
we're here.
Yeah,
we're here.
Okay. How you doing, Matt?
Sorry, sometimes my stuff doesn't work.
How are
you? You know, there comes what everybody's talking about. It comes down to, and it's always comes down to government involvement in private business or private corporations. It always has come down to that. When we're talking about these golden parachutes and things of that nature, this you have to understand. Even though that they're shareholders, and let's not forget those shareholders decided themselves to invest. Everybody in a private organization decided themselves to have a position inside that organization, whether it be the guy sweeping the broom, whether it be the guy running the machine, or whether it be the CEO in the office running things. It doesn't matter. Whoever was placed there for a reason. If they don't do their job, or if they run the company into the ground, then it was poor decisions, and everybody who invested into that company, no matter what the decisions are, decided to have a piece of that company. The problem is when government gets involved and decides that you talk about golden parachutes, that's what these bailouts were. These were government-provided bailouts, golden parachutes for a lot of these banks and a lot of these corporations that were going under, and we still continue to do it and pay the same people to do the same, I don't want to use that word, the same poor job and continue to smash this economy into the ground. It's not going to stop until you leave private organization alone and allow the private business to fail on their own.
But Matt.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Jeff.
I totally agree to say that there's too much involvement. There has to be some sort of oversight because there are evil people. And whenever you have evil people anywhere, you have to have some kind of oversight. But here's the deal. I contend to you still. I don't really see the scenario that you all see because I can't see people that want to make money putting a crony in there to make them money when he's not qualified or not good to do it. I'm telling you.
But Jeff,
I'm thinking
you can see this. You can see this. You can see the writing on the wall because remember, as long as you're my friend, we're making money together. And our cronyism, remember, I am paid in, remember, a lot of them are not paid in cash.
I understand.
Okay. So what we're saying is you don't see the board putting these people together and putting them in position for whatever. But let's take to a public board. Let's go to a board of education. Okay? As it used to be. Hold on. Now let's go back some years. And let's go back to where we didn't care about the product of the education of the students, but we cared about the salaries and the jobs of the people we could hire and how we could fill their pockets. Not really caring about the product on the end. Am I wrong?
That's a totally different situation.
No, it's not, because when you look at cronyism, remember, cronyism is all about greed, and it's about what can I get out of this. If me and Sticks go into business, and we want to go hire you and Ben, we don't care about Matt, Stanley, and Alex on the line. And as long as we get ours, I'll go and pair it to
you. But you're not going to get yours if I'm incompetent.
But you're not.
Yes,
yes
you will.
Are.
Yes, you will.
How?
Because I get
because
the
board. The boards are still.
No.
The boards. What's happening is, in a lot of cases, these boards still get their paychecks regardless whether the company goes under or not, and the only person that's out when the company goes under is the shareholder.
Yeah.
If you don't believe him, look up what happened to GM.
Yes, absolutely.
You're totally missing my point.
And here's
point.
Where the and, but,
well,
but here's
but GM's
where
not
the
a good,
go
GM's
ahead,
not a
Al.
Good GM's not a good example. I mean, the only reason that they were allowed to
well,
just
their shareholders
stiff,
went down to nothing.
Go ahead, Alan.
I mean, the only reason that shareholders were allowed to get stiffed. Get shafted is because of Obama. Not that doesn't happen under normal market conditions. It's because the government stepped into that.
But the bondholders, not the shareholders. The share price can go to zero. It's the bondholders that he changed the law about.
No, he changed the law on the shareholders also.
Changed it on everybody.
He put the unions before the shareholders.
Well, before the bondholders.
No.
He closed
because
General Motors did go bankrupt. Their stock price went to zero, and it was the company was reformed and rechartered.
Right, but usually your shareholders actually can go after you, but they put the unions before it all.
I think you're mistaken. I think if you're go ahead, Alex.
Yep. But what about the people who own shares in the bankrupt company? They got shafted because they own just worthless shares.
But they didn't get shafted because they took the chance. That was their personal
In this case, Matt, they rewrote 200 years of contract law for General Motors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In general,
and the government
because
did
normally
that.
you can throw
a government pen. Is what you're saying by a
that's
government?
Correct. By a government.
Yeah, Obama came in there and just he just did something totally unprecedented, in my opinion, when it comes to contract law. Like
and it was,
and yet the unions still support him there. So
because he put the unions.
He gave the unions a third of the freaking company.
He put the unions.
Before
he went against 200
bondholders.
He went 200 years of contract against 200 years of contract law, and put the union ahead of the bondholders. In any bankruptcy situation, it's always the bondholders that get paid first.
Not in this case. And so when you look at how they do this, the people, remember, the public exchange is supposed to have some regulations to keep you safe.
Well,
and the government is not supposed to come in and rewrite the law. And the reason why things happen is because they allow for cronyism. Because remember, these guys don't care about the end result. They just want to get theirs and get out.
Well, Stanley keeps going back to 2008, and it's very simple. Instead of bailing out the banks, if the problem was the mortgages, they said the problem was all these subprime mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
They could have allowed all the banks to go. They could have paid off every residential mortgage in the United States, disbanded Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And it would have been billions of dollars cheaper than what they did.
Absolutely.
That's why I say they don't
care
anything about the people.
But then the government would have been a racist.
But hold on. But you got to understand.
Well, no,
hold on. We knew this was coming based upon conversations that we heard through Barney Frank, Maxine Waters, George Bush.
We were warned.
Huh?
We were warned.
We were warned ahead of time
mm-hmm.
that this was happening because they no longer could do it. We also know that the government legislated this to happen.
Maxine Waters and Barney Frank, up to the day it collapsed, said that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were solvent.
Chris Dodd, too.
And if you look at, hold on, Stanley, and if you look at the end result, no one, including the guys who were in charge of Fannie and Freddie, who were doing some shiesty things, no one got their hand slapped.
Okay.
Because it was too political to slap. Because if they had slapped one, they'd have slapped them all.
Wait a minute. If they had slapped any, they would have had to go back and arrest Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, Maxine Waters, and the other African-American congressmen that resisted the Bush administration overseers from getting in there and overseeing that program, because they cried to them for a whole year. If you don't change this, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to go down. We're, you know, the system is very.
Hold on. So let's bring this local. Hold on, I got to bring it local.
No.
Remember when the guys from Youngstown and the janitorial and they were overpaid, but you had to have it signed off on, and all these people went to jail here?
Yeah.
How is it that people go to jail, but nobody goes to jail, and no one goes to jail who signs off on the contracts?
I agree because it's crooked.
Well, once again,
there we go.
It's crooked.
How do you destroy an economy?
Well,
this is all part of the master plan to destroy the dollar.
Well, there's
in
no
order,
doubt.
In order for a socialistic state to take over.
But why would you want to have a socialistic state of the United States of America? And who?
Ask the people who support Obama, because that's what he's doing.
Who is going to benefit from this? And how?
The super wealthy will benefit from it.
Why?
The CEOs, the banks. The banks that the liberals hate will absolutely benefit from a socialist.
Well, no doubt about it. But here's the main thing: you're going to have a ruling class. That's who's to get it, and your ruling class is going to be your progressives. That's what they're setting up. That's what they're doing. This is easy to see. This is not something that's hidden and cloaked.
It is hidden and cloaked.
It's not hidden and cloaked whatsoever. It's out in the front. You just don't believe it.
It's hidden in plain sight. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jeff, it was hidden and close. I'm sorry. I didn't know about credit default swap until I searched for it. No Americans knew about that.
You don't need to know about that.
Go back to 2007 and ask any American, do you know what is a credit default swap? Everybody would be telling you, what the hell is that?
Stanley, in the 70s, 60 Minutes did articles about this stuff.
In the 80s. Hold on, you guys. You psychobabble people that don't think that American people are paying attention. You can't go through 50 people you know right now and ask them who is the president of the Senate. And and them give you an answer. And you really think they know what a credit swap is?
I don't care nothing about whether they know what a credit swap is, who the Senate is. They have to understand what's going on with their own pocketbook.
Acting like people know. And the American electorate is so ignorant and dumbed down, the only thing we care about right now is scandal on Thursday night and Snooki.
But is or is not 60 Minutes one of the highest rated programs on television?
Well, it might be, but it's amongst the educated. It's like people like us that are going
to
go get it.
Honest with me, that when he said credit swap, I thought it was something dirty.
It's what I mean. I know about wife swap, but what is a credit swap?
Right. That's what I thought, Tracy.
I mean, come on.
You take my wife with that credit.
But can you?
You take your husband or your wife's credit card.
And I get your wife with good credit, right?
But, I mean, what are you guys talking about? People don't even know what the credit score is on their own credit from...
Tracy has nothing to do with it.
That's what I'm saying,
Jeff. I'm saying, but what you're saying, their own credit score has nothing to do with it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. How can I know about my credit score, and you're talking about a credit swap, and I don't even know what TRW and all them people are, and you're talking about a credit swap with the federal government, and what?
I didn't really even know what redlining was when it came to...
Okay, I mean,
I didn't know what redlining was to know what it is.
Yeah, and that's
point is this: when you see certain things happening, and you hear any story, you've got to watch something, hear something at one time or another that's going to tell you. Stanley, you hear the truth and you completely ignore it.
Jeff,
not knowing without knowledge,
it's bliss.
Well, it's,
but Jeff,
that's,
Jeff
would be.
Yeah, and that's how I put America out right now.
How can you go with this when the people were supposed to protect you, the system, the people were supposed to rate things like A+ and things like that? Even them basically are paid by the bank or the government, like you said, and they're not even telling the truth to the people. They're saying to people, yes, invest in this, and it'll be a AAA, when really, it wasn't a AAA. It was money that was nothing.
Hold on, family.
Investing money on nothing, and they're the one responsible for protecting us.
Stanley, okay, so why do you still blame it on Bush?
Yes.
I said, so why do you still want to blame it on Bush? When all
I'm
the facts show
that
Bush tried to stop it.
In 2008. I'm not blaming on Bush. I'm just saying that's what happened in 2008. The people who were supposed to protect us and say, don't go there, those people said those are AAAs. And people asked them in the Senate, how come you told people, like regular people like us, to invest in those things when you knew that there was no reason to.
Stanley, I got something I want you to listen to.
Through nearly a dozen hearings where, frankly, we were trying to fix something that wasn't broke. Mr. Chairman, we do not have a crisis at Freddie Mac, and in particular at Fannie Mae, under the outstanding leadership of Mr.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Six teenagers from Warren were killed in what officials say was the worst car accident in the history of Trumbull County. Eight kids were in the Honda Passport that went out of control on Pine Street and crashed in a pond. Some of the victims died of hypothermic drowning. Two survived. Police say speed was a factor in the crash. Two officers from the Cleveland suburb of Middlefield are recovering after they were shot during a traffic stop yesterday. The officers returned fire and killed the suspect. Some Ohio schools have decided that federal Race to the Top education grants are not worth it. The Columbus Dispatch reports that some 80 school districts and charter schools across the state have backed out of the grant program after winning money. Some withdrew quickly after deciding requirements were too costly, while others who have been receiving money are starting to pull out. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Chances are your furnace isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more when your furnace breaks after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price day or night, weekends too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're listening to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 49 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. In the studio with both Ben, Jeff, Six, myself, and I have Matt, Alex, and Matt, Alex, and Stanley on the line, and hopefully you'll call in also. And that number is 347-945-5229. I want to know, what is it that Matt is talking about? That's been on me today. I mean, Matt, I thought you were my friend. I thought I could count on you. You talk about my music. You say that I lost you too. What? How can you fight with the other guys and all that? I don't understand.
Matt doesn't like Survivor?
No, I like Survivor.
I thought it was the Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, that's it. Survivor. This is the guy that does the Bud Light commercials, those crazy ones. You know?
Which ones?
He sings those, like, thank you, Mr. Bus Driver, you know, or something like that. The funny ones.
He talked about my music. What's wrong with my music? What's wrong? Matt!
Doesn't like Survivor.
I didn't like it. I just, you know, I want to beat up a giant Russian right now. That's all. It takes me back to the Rocky days.
And I did. You have to have the Eye of the Tiger to do that.
Adrian!
You forgot the yo.
Yo!
Yo!
Adrian!
Adrian! Now, he was screaming it outside like the guy from the thing Desire, what do you call it in Desire?
I mean, Eye of the Tiger.
Streetcar Desire.
What song was that off of Rocky where he did
Rocky IV, when he went to go take out the Russian.
I thought that was Rocky III.
No, I'm sorry, you're right, it was. It was Mr. T, that's right. And Apollo Creed kept on telling him, Eye of the Tiger, Stallion.
So, you know, Eye of the Tiger, you gotta keep your focus.
You know, that's
such a... Jeff and I are fighting because I think that people are... There are so many corrupt people on Wall Street that is unregulated, didn't do their jobs, and Jeff thinks the people don't put them in the board. I got issues.
And you know what?
I
don't think Eye of the Tiger is such a good phrase, or they wouldn't be an endangered species if they had really great eyesight. Seriously, think about it.
Ben,
I told you
this week you're just corny. Yes, Ben.
Well, it's just true.
Sorry, guys. I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead, Stanley.
I want to go back to what Six said.
Wait a minute, Stanley. Stop. We ain't there yet.
We're still talking about the eye of the tiger, Stanley. It's important.
I got a headline here. Illinois proposes ban on lion meat. And believe it or not, there's a company, Zeemer's Game and Seafoods. You can buy lion snack sticks. You can buy African lion leg roast, steaks and ham, and lion burgers.
That's what I'm trying. I had a tiger. I had a lion.
That's what they sound like they're serving in D.C. because there's no truth burgers there.
Let me tell you something.
They're all lying.
You can't hide your lion eyes.
Yeah.
Why would you want
you
to
go.
Eat a lion?
I got that, Ben. I got that.
You got that one?
I got that one. Only lion burgers in D.C. I hear it.
This is for sure. There's nothing. They don't serve the truth there.
Hey, is that like only having rapeless burgers over in Pittsburgh?
No, that's like having a winless season in Cleveland.
No,
pretty much standard.
Lately, you're right, but it won't be that way this year.
I know. Every
no.
Every spring you say they're
going
to win the Super
Bowl. No, I don't. But I'm going to tell you this: we will be in the running for the division next year. That's coming in.
You're right. The first game of the season, we'll all be even. That's the only time we'll be even.
Wow. There is a record on food stamps. We have made another record.
On food stamps?
On food stamps.
Mm. Talk about printing money.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
As I said at the beginning of the show,
can you see this though? Do you understand what they're doing?
Destroying the economy?
Not only destroying the economy, but they're actually systematically taking over the country.
But they're taking over the country because the people are giving it to them by their own need.
That's true.
And you have to understand, when you put people on the system, it's very hard for you to bite the system that feeds you.
That's what I just said.
I mean, when they're giving you an Obama phone, right?
Obama
cheese.
Ben, don't be
Obamacare.
Don't be a complete butthole.
I'm not. I'm being honest. When you're getting all that stuff, you're not going to vote against them.
This is not Obama. This is bigger than that. And we need to take it off of his back, because if he's the only one, then we can just deal with that. But this is not just his case.
It's
our fault.
But has anybody looked, and I haven't done this, has anybody looked at the income requirements for food stamps against the income requirements for food stamps in, say, the 70s, based on inflation? Have we lowered the threshold to receive assistance?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you have to have two cars now to have food stamps.
Ben, that's not true. And we need to separate that. That's why people have a problem when we talk about people that need assistance. There are people who need assistance just based upon, as we said, staying indigent. Indigent pays. We need to understand
that. Who's paying for it?
The other American public.
How are they paying for it?
They're paying it for it through the taxes.
Are they?
But you have to understand.
Or is China paying it by buying our debt?
But it's bigger than that.
I'm piecing it all together.
But you're not piecing it together. You're making a behind out of everyone. People have needs. When they lose their job, they have needs. And the problem is America is making the American electorate indigent so that they can take them over. And then you want to act like they're doing it because not all these people have three cars.
I didn't say three.
They don't have two. Some of them barely have one.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's varying degrees, but here's the thing. They're not creating a situation that more or less encourages those
to go to work.
That's my point.
But that wasn't your point. That's not what you said. What you said was, how many cars do you have? That's not why people are on welfare. They're on welfare. They're on public assistance. They're getting food stamps, a lot of them, because now they need it. You've got very, very proud people now who have to go take a direction card that have never been on assistance before in their life, because America is breeding indigence. They want people poor.
And how do we take care of that? How do we fix the problem?
You educate them.
No, because if you educate them, they're gonna. I mean, ignorance is bliss. We just mentioned
that
before.
Educate
them. That's not going to work.
You're wrong.
That's not going to work.
You're wrong.
Then
we need to shut up and go somewhere else and play some music. If education does, because education causes people to ask questions.
People are educated as to how the system works and how to
not.
Take
advantage
of it.
No, they're not.
That's Ben.
That's Ben.
Ben, they're not.
They're not. They have no clue.
Wait a minute. Stanley's not saying the same thing you are.
Yes, I am. I'm agreeing.
Okay, what are you saying?
They're
Stanley?
Not educated. The general people are not educated.
See?
General people don't even know credit default. They don't even know this.
But Stanley,
he's not hearing what you said.
But what I'm saying is people have no idea that legislation actually drives everything that is around them. They do not understand that when they vote just Democrat or just Republican or because he shook my hand and I went to school with him and he's my friend and they put him down in the state house, they have no idea how that blows back if they're not respected down there.
Well, you know, what really gets me is that people who are honestly trying to help themselves get a job and actually start working are penalized for doing so.
But they're just as ignorant.
But the thing
is
they're ignorant of what it takes to get off, but they're not
ignorant
of what it takes
to get on.
But they're ignorant of what it, because, well, listen, information, because we are breeding, well, remember, we are indoctrinating a group of people to become ignorant. So I can tell you how to game the system and how to get on, but the last thing I will tell you is how to get off, how to stay off, how to be productive, and how to make sure the legislation that is being passed is not going to bind you.
Okay.
So are you saying that policy breeds Democrats?
No, I'm saying it's not about Democrat and Republican.
Or liberals?
I'm saying the bad policy and undereducated people breed bad policy and bad electorate, which means you have people down there who have no idea how to get to the bathroom, and yet you elect them as your state reps, as your senators, both in the House and statewide, as well as in the federal government.
And do you really believe that's not by design?
It might be by design, but you criticizing them and demonizing them because they are on public assistance does not help.
Oh, I'm not demonizing them.
No.
I'm demonizing the system.
The system
is what I'm demonizing.
But what you said was, when it comes personal is, it used to be people said black people were on welfare.
No.
Hold on. You said it, people are on welfare, but yet they got Cadillacs and they got cars, but they got welfare stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say that about all black people, but now that black people are no longer the face of food stamps and it is half of the American electorate.
That's why I said now they have two cars.
But now they don't have two cars.
Half of the American electorate?
They're not half
of the American electorate by any means.
You know what I'm saying.
But
they're causing it.
But that's not demonizing. I'm demonizing the system.
But that's not what you said.
That's exactly what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
Because I told him what policy. He asked what policy. I said,
you have to have two cars. But it's not two cars.
To get on public assistance.
You don't get two cars on public assistance. You don't even have two cars because you don't have two people in the house to drive because you've destroyed the family unit.
I can produce 50 people here that have three cars on public assistance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can produce a whole bunch.
I'm not saying those people don't deserve to be on it. Okay. Yes, maybe they lost their jobs and they need help. Okay. And they can't maintain the lifestyle that they had. But what I'm getting at is that are they truly needy if they have three cars?
But you're missing the point.
No, I'm not.
You're
missing the point. The
no,
point is the policy itself is bad policy.
But it's not bad policy.
And when it breeds itself, yes, it is.
Ben, at the beginning of the show,
mm-hmm.
we said that you and I, going to the Cleveland Clinic,
right,
do better off by being indigent.
And is that not bad policy?
But what you're saying is you have two cars?
Oh, I've got two cars, yes.
And so, going to the Cleveland Clinic and being indigent,
right?
You do better off.
Exactly.
So
you're agreeing with me, thank you.
That's not policy.
Yes, it is.
No, that's not policy. What we're
policy
saying is...
Policy at the Cleveland
listen,
Clinic.
The Cleveland Clinic is going by the federal guidelines, which
right.
is the policy. But what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying is, they are breeding. We are indoctrinating people to stay indigent, to game the system, to do not work, to do not get a raise, to go and quit your job, because if you quit your job, your husband can live. But if I have a friend, she quit her job because she could get no assistance for her husband as long as she works.
All I'm saying is that
I'm with you because of this. You said exactly what we said 10 minutes ago.
You're agreeing with
us. That you were disagreeing with.
No, what I'm saying to Ben is when he brings in the stereotype of cars, he brings in the, you demonize, it's not about the cars. It's not. It's about what you're causing the the mindset of America to do just to survive.
The only point I was making is that the middle class are now becoming just as poor as everybody else that needs that system. That's why.
But that's not two cars.
Because
right now
I've got two businesses and two cars, and I can get food stamps.
But that's not two again.
Well, I'm just telling you.
So we are breeding.
Exactly.
And that's what
I'm saying. And that's bad policy.
But it's not about the stuff. It's about the life. And I don't want people to align that with people who are just being slothful. Because now people have needs.
Yeah, well, of course. There is a difference.
Now,
but
we got people gaming the system all day long.
Right. And you know what? It's much easier if I would game the system, too.
But we're not talking about them.
Yes, we are.
That's what I meant
by two cars.
That's what I was talking about, too, because I'm just saying like this.
Those people... me included.
That's who elected the president this last time.
But
you have to understand that.
But listen, what I'm saying to you guys is, from my research, and I know I got a Cracker Jack research team, what is happening is we are making it to where it is more profitable for me to be indigent.
Absolutely.
That's what we're saying.
Than to be productive.
That's exactly
Absolutely.
What we're saying. But now we're not saying it's just the needy. It's the middle class that are maybe more productive.
But what I'm saying is you guys have to understand that when I have made up, when I'm looking at my husband who has been diagnosed with something and for his medical care,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gaming the system. But hold on. I'm not gaming the system.
For every one person.
Let me finish. I'm not gaming the system when I quit my job so that he can live. I'm doing what's necessary for someone that I love.
Okay, for every one person you can find with that example, I can give you nine that are doing it just for profit purposes only.
Please, can I tell you this? I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. I agree with you. You're bringing in a side of it that we're not talking about. We're not telling you that we don't want people to get help. We're telling you that there's too many doggone people gaming the system. You can sit out there and have $10, $20, $30, freaking $1,000 in your pocket, and you go in the store and buy something with a direction card. I'm ticked about it. Okay, you may not
chime
be,
in on it.
But I am.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead.
I just answered my own question. This is a Washington Examiner ad from June of 2012. It says 2002 Farm Bill expanded eligibility to non-citizens, increased benefits for families with more children, adjusted benefits for inflation, and made it easier to enroll. Further easing of eligibility requirements followed in a 2008 Farm Bill, which contained more than 30 provisions relating to food stamps, including higher minimum benefits. As the data shows, spending after changes in eligibility grew by $185 billion between 2002 and 2008. And it says here, $24,096 a year income for a family of three is eligible for food stamps.
So basically you can have two tractors now and get the system.
$12.50 an hour.
Right?
Hear what I'm saying. We have the government...
Mm-hmm.
The system itself, it needs to put the more people that are on the system are the more people that will be a part of the 47%.
Okay.
Because once I tie my livelihood to the system, I'm more apt not to bite the hand that feeds me.
And will you agree with me that the higher income levels that Sticks just brought up have more than one car and more than one tractor?
I'm not going to say that.
You should, though.
People in this area making $24,000 a year, I would say the majority of them even own their own homes.
Yes.
But if you own your own home...
And big screen LCDs.
If you own your own home and you can't get your roof done on your home because grandma and grandpa died and you still haven't probated the house you live in,
okay.
And you ain't paying taxes on the home you got.
You're given legitimate situations
that
exist.
Are rare.
They're not
okay.
There.
Well,
that's where we're differing.
I'm not differing with you on
that. I don't believe that they're rare. I believe that there are more people who are suffering and what they're
no.
doing. Can I chime in on this as well?
I got to tell you that. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Tracy. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but some of the arguments being brought up, I have to say that they kind of annoy me. When people talk about, you know, people gaming the system and all this stuff, if you look at how much money is spent on social on these welfare programs or whatever socially, it doesn't even touch what goes to the corporate welfare from the government. And so it's just insane to me that people try to analyze the victims of a bad economy that's caused by government intervention in the first place. Let me give you an example. Like a report just came out last week by, I think it was Washington Post or somebody like that, that companies are starting to go to Mexico and other countries for sugar, all right? And because it's getting cheaper there. But, you know, like here in Florida, they produce pretty much the most sugar for the United States. But it's primarily through government subsidy. And so this is what it causes. The government is pouring money into the sugar industry, and so then it eventually causes the prices to go up in sugar, and so and now it just has unintended consequences, you know, whenever the government gets involved in these things, and so now people are going, and so now these people they got this huge check coming from the government, so they're going to do everything, lobby, do whatever is necessary to keep those government contracts and subsidies in place, these corporations, and so prices keep going up. But now, only thing that's happened is that it's created even less jobs for Americans
case in point. This is why the Hershey Company picked up and moved its operations from Pennsylvania to Mexico.
And I'm sure you understand, Alex, why the United States uses high fructose corn syrup and Europe uses cane sugar.
Yeah. I mean, because of the
corn subsidy.
Exactly.
My point is too, Alex. I agree with you 1,000%. I'm not saying that we're paying out so much in this assistance. I'm saying that they have misaligned the system, so it is ineffective to help the people. But it is doing all it can to hide people in a system that doesn't do anything but press them down.
The system has been created to get a hold of people and keep them. Go ahead.
But help them do what? I mean, if there's no jobs. It doesn't matter. If the economy isn't moving, then it doesn't matter. You can't, you know, you could say, well, I think it's more what Tracy's talking about, that, you know, people are in dire straits and they have to go on this assistance. But the reason for that is because of the government. And we can't say that, well, it's these assistance programs that's making them want to go on to assistance. No, we have a crappy economy, and
well,
we have an over-intrusive government.
Hold on, Matt, because I'm going to let you in. Understand this. If I breed a have and a have-not, I no longer have to house you inside of penitentiaries to have a slave workforce.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
And I agree
with
you.
What I'm doing is I am conditioning you to be infotained, to be entertained and to be amused so that I can have you dependent on a system, because as long as your livelihood is tied to me, I control you, and you will always vote with me, which means you will walk your way into slavery without even realizing you're being enslaved.
And who said this first today?
So, well, listen to what I'm saying, Jeff. I think we may be all saying it the same way, differently. But what I'm saying is the gaming of the system, it is people that are in dire straits. They're not having three cars. They're trying to sell their car, but the car is repossessed. So the car that you're talking about that they're supposed to have then, the two cars, they only have one. And then you have to understand the erosion of the family, the erosion of the traditional family unit. So, no, there's no two cars. There's barely one. I can't afford to put the gasoline. Now, yeah, you got people out there gaming the system, but I can't afford to put the gasoline in the one that I have. My credit rating has gone down so that my interest rate has gone up so that I will put more money into the system, which means you will continue to take money from me that I have not earned.
Precisely.
I have all these regulations on my back that I cannot afford. Right, and I will continually vote for the undereducated electorate in which I will give my authority over as the electorate to some dumbo who tickles my fancy because he's a celebrity and not a public servant.
Let me jump
that's
in here.
That's basically what I meant.
That's basically what I said.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm telling you.
Here's the issue. I know a few people on public assistance. A couple of them definitely need it because of injuries or some sort where they can't work. So they do need some help. However, the majority of them, it starts off, they get laid off from a job, and they start, obviously, they have workers' comp, which is being, or not workers' comp, unemployment, which, of course, is being extended every other month. So that just keeps going and going. So they drain that out, and they get so used to not doing anything, they start looking for these welfare systems. I know people that have been on the systems for 5-6 years that literally have big-screen TVs, take 2-3 vacations a year. They're living better than I mean, their house is falling in disrepair, but they don't care because all of their food is getting paid for, their vacations, their cars, their TVs, and they stay on that system. And let's just say,
but Matt,
I think it's
you're
somewhere
right.
About
You're right.
Yeah, Matt.
I agree with the game of the system. But when I went on the system, I didn't go on to game it. I went on it to live
it. Listen,
and
you.
I can, hold on.
You.
Listen to what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Listen to the mindset of a good portion of people. When I went on there, I only went on for a temporary fix. It's like doing crack cocaine and or getting high.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted to hit the pipe once to see how it would feel. But once I found out how it was, it didn't make sense for me to go out and change what I was doing because once I got hooked into the system.
Listen.
Hold on. Once I get hooked into the system, then now I no longer.
Along with that.
Let me finish. Now I no longer feel the need to go and be a productive citizen.
Of course.
Let me finish. Because what's happening is, I am being indoctrinated into a system, and I'm being dumbed down. So that which I used to care about, that which I used to stand up for, that which I was moral about, that which I used to say was right, I now say I can stay home, I can be taken care of, and I can jump out of society, and the responsibility is no longer mine.
Well, now along with the working poor, we now have an unemployed wealthy. We've got people that have seen how the system can be abused, know they can abuse it because they have been, let go by Delphi or other companies that have left the country. They're perfectly capable of working for themselves. They got 401ks. But if they can live off the government, they are. And I know these people.
Well, I can explain to you what's wrong with this entire system. It's been designed as a handout system and not a hand-up system. In the early 1980s, my father lost it. The company that my father worked for went bankrupt, and my father was out of work for a short amount of time. And my mom and dad had a farm. They had a dairy farm. And the way we did everything back then was we dried all the cows off so we didn't have to milk cows in January. Normally, dairy cows, you dry them off, and they're dry for 6 or 8 weeks in between calves. My mother went, and she said went to the welfare office. She asked for food stamps for 4 weeks until the herd come fresh. She says, I just need help for 4 weeks. The answer to my mother was, you start selling your farm an acre at a time, and when you run out of farm, you come back and talk to us. Well, that system makes you indigent before you ever get started. So once you get into the system, there's no getting out of the system.
Basically, you're a slave to the system.
Right.
And so the hamster wheel You got on the hand. All you want to do is get on there for a brief reprieve because you needed that. You need a stopgap between A and D. And once you got on there, it won't let you off. Just like I said to you, I don't know how much this $6,000 Delinea is going to cost me when benefits kick in. I may have to go down there and say, you know what, listen, I love being on the Board of Elections, but I got to go because I can't say, I'm saying this out loud, it's my personal, and listen, they put it on there, they put it in the newspaper, they didn't put it in the newspaper for nobody else.
Yeah, but I'm
saying. But I'm just saying, you, I'm saying, because I don't know.
Well, basically what you're saying is that you'd rather be part of the unemployed.
No, she wants to live.
No,
right.
Ben,
but
ben,
the
ben,
working
ben,
poor
ben,
is.
Listen to what I'm saying. You have a debilitating disease
uh-huh.
that can cause you to become handicapped.
Yes.
So if you don't have if you don't have the offset.
I mean, I'm a diabetic. I know what you mean.
No, see, diabetic is one thing. Crippled and drooling and going and walking around with feces all over yourself is another.
Oh, that's me.
So I need to know. You know, if I cannot, if I need to take a medication that will keep me alive and I can't afford it because now I have health care, then I need to make a decision.
Exactly.
And the decision may be to make you indigent no matter what it is. And we have thousands of people out there that whether it is for your kids and your welfare, because when you look at unemployment, 99 weeks of unemployment is crazy. Because by the time I get through the 99 weeks, which is 2 years,
you're unemployable.
Yes, this is why I said they penalize you for working.
But listen, I'm unemployable. With my unemployment, I'm getting food stamps. I can get on Section 8. By the time I find the job, I'm doing better with the disposable income off the job, and I've now become dependent upon the system, and I'm not going to vote against someone who says, I'm
exactly.
going to make them come off and go to work.
That's all basically what I said, but just a little shorter terminology.
No,
that's what I said.
No, because you came off crass.
But it's not crass.
Because it's not about two cars. It's not about having what I have. What I own is what I pay for. Remember, you didn't give it to me. Pardon me?
That's not true. Obama says he gave us everything, our businesses, everything. It's because of Obama.
You didn't do that.
You didn't do that. I did that for
you. But when you go by, when you sign your name on the dotted line and have to pay for what it is, you have to pay for what it is.
Listen,
you can't just send the bill to the White House.
Listen,
no.
What I'm saying
here is, I think you're taking it more personal because we weren't saying it a certain way.
But what I'm saying is, wouldn't it be welfare indigent? It breeds. And what it's breeding is, we're breeding generations because, remember, I think Styx and I, when we had Project 21 on here.
Mm-hmm. Agenda 21.
Agenda 21. What was her name?
Rosa Core.
When she came on here and we said that African-American people in the inner cities of America were a pilot program.
Test group, yes.
Yes.
For the rest of America.
Absolutely.
Now let's look at what happened to the African-American family erosion beginning in the 1960s and moving forward, entitlement programs, welfare systems, and how it has bred. Because now you have a group of people that has undereducated, whose men are incarcerated, whose women are not as productive and or savvy as they should be, and now they are spreading it abroad to the main populace.
Absolutely. Look at your local newspaper in any city in this country and look at the births and look at the unwed births, black, white, purple, green, yellow.
Now it no longer has a ghetto mentality. It is now suburban and it's actually rural.
It is absolutely that.
And how many cars do the people have in the suburbs? Kidding.
I mean, here's the thing. You have an absolute mishmash going on of different situations. It's just that black people happen to be the poorest of all the people that are on government assistance
because they were first.
Now, yes, because they were first, but also there was a concerted effort to put them out.
So, right. So if I use you as a pilot program and there's mm-hmm. a concerted effort to do this to you to find out how this is going to affect you on the hamster wheel, but I see what happens to Jeff. You become the bottom of the barrel. Then tell me this. What happens when I start putting the masses on a pilot wheel? Because what will happen in 50 years with them?
Well, they're going to be in the same situation. They're
the
going to completely
class.
Crush you.
The middle
so,
class.
Hold on. So now you have an entitlement. You know that the 98% of the African American populace, no matter what social demographic that they're in, how do they vote?
Heil Hitler.
Okay, so look at what will happen now that I found out it will work there. I will spread it to the rest, and then you will have a whole population that will be a Marxist socialist mentality without calling them.
Absolutely, because mm-hmm. your schools are teaching
and,
it.
And then you will
and
have,
then you have the.
What
the
two
you,
classes will be left then?
You'll have the ruling
have
government.
Have, the have and have not.
The ruling government class and the serfs.
And as long as I use you as a pilot group,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
it's not about cars, it's not about stuff, it's about making sure I can create what I've done in the inner city to African Americans, created to the, all the populace.
Actually, it was about chariots when the Roman Senate did it in Rome.
Well,
and if I can do it to the populace, then I will be king of the hill.
If you know your history.
Of course. But once again, like I said, they're doing this on total purpose, as we said, and people are ignorant, and they're thinking that when these companies do certain things, that they are doing them wrongfully when it's their business what who they give a contract to and who they pay for whatever.
But let's bring this home. We're doing this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not do what they've done to the African-American community on purpose?
Absolutely.
Did they not do it through the media? Did they not do it through the music? And did
Absolutely.
They not do it through the social economic status of them? And did they not destroy their family?
Absolutely. They did it on purpose.
So if they did all of this on purpose, do we not understand that this when you look at the Margaret Sanger?
Yeah, you're voting for the people that have done it on purpose to you. That's what's getting me. I hate that.
But do you understand that African Americans did not see it happening to them when it was happening?
No, they were too demoralized.
And what have they done to the rest of the populace?
Well, they've taught you to be demoralized.
And so, is it now not spreading?
Oh, absolutely.
And are we not seeing the fruition of their plan come into manifestation?
I agree 1,000%.
And are they not voting?
You're asking me like this is not what I say all the time.
What I'm saying is I'm simplifying it and bringing it home, because if you mm-hmm. look, if you connect all the dots
mm-hmm.
of this equation,
sure,
this was a plan from the beginning, and if you look at Margaret Sanger, if you look at all of the legislation, if you look at what's going on, and we are still voting based on warm and fuzzy,
mm-hmm.
not based on policy and platform.
Absolutely. All of the eugenists all said that they needed to warehouse the undesirables until they could exterminate them.
So now,
once again, and bringing up the point I made earlier, who's in our ghettos?
Tracy, I got to ask a question. A couple weeks ago, you said I got to throw Matt, Ben, and Jeff under the bus because of all this talk about a one-world government and George Soros and all this other stuff. And you're saying the exact same thing. Are you believing it now?
But see, one world government is coming. Absolutely, it is happening. You're seeing it, and you're seeing it evolve in front of your eyes. I've never not agreed with that.
Oh, okay. I've
never not agreed with that, because that's going to happen because of what I believe. It has to happen. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to walk into it with your eyes wide shut. See, you can't stop one world government because it's going to happen. But at least you can open your eyes and walk into it with your eyes open. See, the people that went into the gas chambers went into the gas chambers thinking they were
eyes
taking a
closed.
Shower.
Eyes closed.
They thought they were taking a shower, so they had a bar of soap but no water.
They actually got a government check and got on the train.
So what I'm saying is we need to open up our eyes and realize that when you walk into the gas chamber, they're going to asphyxiate you.
And however they do it, whether they create diseases to do it, whether they create another war or allow the country to be attacked in large population centers, you have to understand that the people that believe in this stuff are politicians, and they are making laws to allow. How else do you bring Osama bin Laden's son-in-law to the United States, who is not a United States citizen, try him in your courts so you can give him United States citizens' rights in a trial? What the heck is that all about? That's blending systems. They're doing it on purpose. It's just like you have it in the religious thing, the Chrislam or that coexist sign. You understand that coexist?
Half the people, when they see the bumper sticker on the back of a car,
they
have
nice
no idea
thing.
what they're talking about.
One world government. You know, it's really sad that coexist sign in the Middle East doesn't go over too well. They were burning crosses there this weekend.
Not about that. There's no doubt they're burning Christians.
Right now we have a U.S. citizen, Christian U.S. citizen pastor, in jail in Iran.
Right.
And the administration and the State Department is doing nothing.
We don't interfere
in other people's policies.
That's right. We don't do that. He went over there. He went over there as an evangelist, not evangelist, missionary. He knew what he was doing when he walked over there.
You have to remember basically Obama backed down and said himself.
But we used to regularly send Green Berets into South America to liberate captured missionaries.
That's different.
And how many Muslims did we defend in the Balkans?
I got to take a quick call.
Gee,
all of them.
We said, we won't protect one Christian.
Again.
Would you think that make Obama a Muslim fan or a Christian fan?
Well, Obama didn't have anything to do with that. That was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, he protected the Muslims over there.
Yes.
Oh.
That's different, guys.
Hmm.
Hey, Alex.
Yes.
What are you saying?
I think y'all are crazy.
Okay.
Hey,
you think?
No, I mean, I think one of the things what Jeff brought up about the trying terrorists here in this country, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that's always been and that's what we should do. We need to maintain the rule of law. We need to maintain the rule of law.
He doesn't belong here.
Whoa. I want to hear what he has to say and then come back and answer him back, and I won't let anyone else in. Go ahead, Alex. I want to hear what you're saying.
You're just supposed to maintain the rule of law, and that's just something that's always been. I mean, starting even back to the beginning of this country. I mean, that's just what you did with terrorists or captured prisoners or soldiers or whatever it was with Native Americans or with the Mexico with the when we were fighting against the Mexicans. Yeah, you that's what you do. That's what you do in a civil society, and we cannot allow ourselves to purge the rule of law and descend to the savagery, which is exactly what they want us to do, and that's exactly what we've been doing. And which is the problem in the first place.
Go ahead, Jeff.
There's a whole big different thing. When we took Indians or Mexicans that were fighting the United States, they were on our land. This is a combatant. Let me finish, sir. This is a combatant from another country that is over there propagandizing and starting things against the United States. You don't bring him here. Why do you think they had the Hague set up for the people in Europe to be tried in? Why do you think you had that? Because you had to have an international situation for that to happen. That's why you have down off the coast here in Cuba, the jail down there. That's why you have that set up down there. That's where his behind should have went, not to the United States, so you could bring more problems on the area where he's being kept at for these guys trying to make a law that they will blow themselves to kingdom come for the chance to make you look like a fool for having him downtown New York.
So,
Alex, Alex, I got a question now, because this is really getting into a different territory here. You don't look at foreign-born people operating in foreign countries captured by our government in the act of terror as prisoners of war.
Do I look at them as prisoners of war?
Yes, because I do.
Well, see, the thing is that you can't. The problem with this whole thing is that you cannot. Terrorism is a tactic, and so you cannot have a war against terrorism, which is what just muddies this whole thing. So, if you have prisoners of war, that's one thing, but that's not what we have. We don't have any prisoners of war. Most of these people that we're talking about aren't prisoners of any war. It's just some concocted nonsense. I mean, and let me remind you that over 200 people from Pakistan and Saudi Arabia have been tried in American courts on charges of terrorism, just like Timothy McVeigh. And there's nothing wrong with that. So it's just we can't. I just don't. It's a slippery slope to go away
right.
from
well,
the rule of law.
So unless you're actually attached to a nation state and the military of a nation state and attack the United States, you don't believe that they can be considered as prisoners of war. Anyway.
No, because it's not a war. What they've done, like, for instance, because then it becomes arbitrary of who is a terrorist and who isn't. And so, and if you just make that declaration, you can just kill anybody.
So,
which is what we witnessed with Christopher Dorner. You know, it's a dangerous, slippery slope. What we need to do is follow the rule of law. It's just like if anybody else can come,
right.
you know, can attack
law?
An American.
But it's my understanding that these organizations have written declared war on the United States, even though they are not members of a nation state. Can an organization, not a nation state, declare war on a nation state?
If we were to follow the Geneva Convention, no. It's not a valid war, and if you carry out war against them, it's a war crime. So no, it's not a war. It's not a valid war to go just because a group of people decide that they're going to carry out some acts. What you do is go to you can go to the court, to the international court, to appeal for the Harvard Nation to bring them to justice, whatever, but to declare war on a group of people is insane. And any acts of any violence that government commits against that group of people that's just organizing is a war crime.
Hold on, one time. What'd you say, Jeff?
That's insane.
Wait a minute.
How are you going to have a war crime and it's not a war, you just said? It's ridiculous. They are enemy combatants to the United States. They are sworn to jihad, and they are sworn to destroy you and your and the citizens thereof of this country. They do not belong in our courts because they are not our citizens. If they were our citizens, that's another thing. Then you can bring them to our courts. But they don't belong here. We created Guantanamo for that purpose. It's ridiculous
Jeff,
and foolish.
Stanley, wait. Wait until everybody gets done.
I'm done. Well, I just want to say, you know, according to the Geneva Convention, you are correct. They do not represent a country, so they can't. But what they are crusaders. Okay, with the same goal as another country would have if they declared war on us. So, therefore, they are enemy combatants, and you should be able to try them as such.
Enemy combatants is a new word that was invented by the Bush administration. I just think that what is the difference between the several nations in Africa that have exterminated groups that wanted to rise up against that country, and then we've come in and said, oh, that's a crime against humanity. Those are war crimes. It's no different. Because you're just exterminating the people just because you don't like them.
But hold on, Alex. Go ahead.
A nation that is knowingly harboring one of these organizations, you're saying the correct way to do it then would be for the United States to have a declaration of war against that nation and that organization?
No. I'm saying that that would be the last resort. First resort is to ask that nation to turn over those people who were responsible. Now, if they don't, then you have it formal. You take it to Congress for a formal declaration of war, and you go in and you do what you need to do and come back home. That is the proper way it's supposed to be handled.
President Bush did that when he went before Congress right after 9/11 and made the statement, if you are not with us, you are against us, and if you harbor these people, then you are responsible for or as much for the act and will declare war against you. President Bush made that well stated before we went into Afghanistan.
But that doesn't get it. The problem with what you're saying, Matt, is basically you're trying to be the police of the world, and you're not supposed to be.
Hold on, Sally, you're on a government conversation, because what the conversation was, they came in and said, if you are a enemy combatant, bringing them back to the United States and using them in our judicial system, our judicial system should not govern those who have been enemy combatants who are not United States citizens. That's why when you are, most of the time, if you are a non-United States citizen and you do a crime, you are deported back to your country, but you are not charged in this country for the crime in which you're being held, unless you do it on American soil.
Tracy, do you know that there's some people, I'm going to go back to what Alex said, you know there's some people we arrested and we didn't prosecute them and they died at Guantanamo. They didn't have due process. They didn't have any court system.
But
they
don't deserve due process.
They're not American citizens.
American citizenry gives you, hold on, the difference between entitlement and your, somebody say your rights and entitlement. Your rights say, as an American citizen, you are due process for defense of your rights. So the guy that was out in California, I got issues with.
Right.
Because they could have done better in trying to bring him in for a due process of the law instead of burning him alive. Outside of that, you know, we need to understand bringing you to my house and giving you the same rights and privileges as my kids.
That's what it is.
Making sense.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That's like getting a neighbor's kid
and bringing him to my house
that did something in his backyard. Huh? He hauled it over your fence.
What would it have been like if we had the Nuremberg trials in the United States?
That's what I was just saying.
I mean, but Jeff, it doesn't make any sense.
Hold up, Stanley.
Go ahead. But Jeff, let me ask you. It's like us going to war, capturing somebody in another country that we did, and bringing him to Guantanamo and not even prosecuting him for this and leaving him in prison for 4, 5, 6 years and not giving him due process. You think that's fair?
Stanley, how long?
Wait, let me finish. Say, we just capture that person from another country. We bring him to our prison. We live in prison for 5 years, and some of them die, and you think that's fair?
Yes.
Stanley, how long? How long were a lot of the men in the Hanoi Hilton?
I have no idea about that.
Stanley,
how long were Americans in the Hanoi Hilton in North Vietnam?
I don't know about that. I'm not. I didn't say
years. Tens of years.
Okay, but
we had American POWs.
Yeah,
now wait a minute. If you were caught, most of them. Stanley, stop, please. Stanley.
Yes.
A lot of those people that were taken to Guantanamo were captured on the battlefield with rifles in their hands shooting at American soldiers. They were, for all intents and purposes, prisoners of war. And prisoners of war are permitted by the Geneva Convention to be held for the duration of the war. Are you aware of that?
Stanley?
They were not... prisoner of war, like Alex.
Stanley, if you are shooting,
they were not.
I got an idea. Why don't we just let these guys out? Let them go stay with Stanley.
Hold on, you got to understand.
Then when they behead Stanley, maybe he'll change his mind.
Bringing people off the if you do a crime out in the middle of the ocean,
international waters.
You're in international waters, which is a different governance than coming onto American soil.
Exactly.
You realize that, right? Doing a crime in another place, whoever it may be, and especially in the Middle East, when we are up against a war on terror, whether you think it's over or not, it's not. Bringing them to the United States for them to go by the United States laws just doesn't make sense. It's just not good common sense. Alex.
You say it doesn't make sense.
No.
You have to rule somebody a terrorist. Who rules them a terrorist?
Exactly.
Military.
If you do it by a tribunal, if you do it by a tribunal, then it goes that way. It goes through, and it can go under the Geneva Convention, but it does not go back to flying them to Chicago and trying them there.
But I also want to throw this into the mix so that we understand. What we're talking about, and you talked about detaining people, because I don't know a whole lot about the foreign policy when it comes down to that, and I'm not going to act like I do because I don't. But I do know that there has been an executive order that you can, through Homeland Security, that you can now think of a domestic terrorist as a threat and hold them.
Oh, you can kill them, right? You can shoot them down on the street.
And without due process.
Let me say this.
What?
And that's because we're going away from the rule of law, and not you can't have it one way and not the other.
Military law has nothing to do with civil. Wait a minute, military law has nothing to do with civil law, and the reason why these guys are enemy combatants because whatever their group is, which is a legitimate group called Al Qaeda and its derivatives, have committed what they call jihad or declaration of holy war upon not only the United States, but the whole Western society. They were caught in the act of attacking U.S. Soldiers, and that's why they are being held in Guantanamo. We did not go over to a country, Pakistan or Afghanistan, and just find some guys on the street after curfew and take them to Guantanamo. Quit being stupid.
That's how they get a lot of these guys. Because I know many of these guys that pick them up. So that's exactly what they do. They pick them up in the middle of the night.
They got them in a process.
Oh my God!
This on the battlefield,
they could not be held unless they had were caught with a weapon in their hand.
Absolutely.
So I mean, check your facts there, because you know, we just take anybody. You know, they were enemy combatants, and the only way they could be ruled that is if they were actually caught in the act. Combating American citizens or American interests.
Understand? But the Geneva Convention is only valid if you're in a valid war. A war
that
is
a valid
terrorism.
That is a
terrorism
valid
is a tactic.
That is a valid
is
war.
A tactic.
So wait
no,
a minute.
It's
so wait
not.
A minute.
Yes, it is. If
so,
you attack
on,
the U.N.
So you don't believe that it's a war, right?
No, this is insane.
So,
how about the war against drugs? Is that a valid war too? The war against poverty.
No.
How about
yes,
that?
We have used military force in other countries to combat the war on drugs too. And we don't
know.
Okay, so if you're asking that question, the answer is yes.
But wait a minute, Alex. Wait a minute, Alex.
Okay.
What is the difference between a congressional authorization for use of force and a declaration of war? Isn't that just semantics?
I mean,
because the president
they could be very much
the authorization for use of force in Afghanistan and Iraq by the Congress.
But we were talking about under the Geneva Convention.
You cannot
declare a war against just a roaming people just under that have affiliation. That's not
a okay. Now wait a minute, though. Now let's explore this. Now you've got an authorization for use of force in Afghanistan, and also a declaration by the President of the United States saying, if you are a nation harboring these people, then we are at war with you and these people you are harboring. So therefore, all those facts put together, the only thing we're arguing here is semantics between a quote-unquote declaration of war and an authorization for use of force.
No. You've jumped over something, because when it came to Afghanistan, the president of Afghanistan came out and said, if you believe Osama bin Laden is responsible for 9/11, please show us the evidence so we can and we will give him to you. But Bush ignored it because he wanted to go in and make and build that gas pipeline and all the other stuff that they wanted to do in that country. It is documented in several news agencies internationally.
Show us,
because I'm going to tell you this, Alex, real quick. I want to interject. The only reason why we noted that Osama bin Laden is responsible for 9/11, because he got on a film and he said he was.
Oh, my God.
What you mean? Oh, your goodness. What you mean? See, this is the foolishness that keeps our people in bondage. What do you mean by, oh, my goodness? Did you not see him say it in his own language on TV Yes, and we're going to do more against the Crusaders. We're going to, I roused my brothers to go and declare holy jihad, or jihad, which means holy war, against the West, the United States, England, and the whole Western society. Did you not see that?
And you are aware
and that video didn't come out until after you had...
After the attack, of course it did.
After the invasion. So it's
no, it didn't come out until after the attack.
Yes, it didn't come out until after we invaded Afghanistan.
Okay, I'm going to look that one up.
Reason because it came out after we invaded Afghanistan. It was not used as evidence to go to war. So
I know it wasn't. We know. I didn't say it was used as evidence to go to war. That's not what I said.
That's not what he said.
I told you that you're saying that all these particular things. Osama bin Laden had been absolutely communicating by tape and communicating even before 9/11 to say that they were going to launch an attack against the United States of America.
That's granted. Okay. There's no argument there.
Okay. Now. We told him, we have this. This is what he said. Bring him out, or we'll give him to you. That's a bunch of mess. They never intended to give up anything. They're liars.
They never intended.
Because understand something. That in Islam, you as an infidel, because you're an infidel, you don't believe in Allah, I can kill you. I can lie to you. I can sell you bad products. I can do anything to you because you're an infidel. You must understand the mindset. No, here we go. That's in their law.
Yeah. I know Islam very well, Jeff. You don't have to educate me on that.
But that's not what we're talking about.
The fact of the matter is that the president of Afghanistan said, just show us the evidence and we'll give them to you. And the United States didn't want to do that because they had these government contracts lined up because it was all about the money. That's what I'm saying.
But capitalism made it more profitable
to go to war rather than just getting Osama bin Laden. They didn't care about Osama bin Laden, which is why it took them 10 years to do it. It's just nonsense, and I can't believe that you buy into it.
Hold on, wait a minute.
No, we not. I got to go South Carolina. Go ahead.
So now, let me get this straight. When Slick Willie had the opportunity to get Osama bin Laden, and he didn't. What's the problem there?
It wasn't advantageous for him to do it.
If it wasn't advantageous, why not? Why wasn't it?
Why not? There was no business case to be made for it. That's why.
Well, it didn't make a difference about business case. I partially agree with you.
Here's what gets me a little bit upset. It's not okay for one not to go after the guy, but you get upset because Bush didn't go at him, but you don't get upset because Clinton didn't go at him.
I never said I wasn't upset that Clinton didn't go after him. I'm talking about that whole line.
I've heard people talk about this, and if they get on Bush, get mad with Bush because he didn't go after him, these same folks were very fat and happy when Saddam Hussein was out there and he could have been gotten by Slick Willie.
Sal, this is the thing that's really the key to this whole thing. Why in the heck did we have the ability to go after him in the first place when Slick Willie turned it down?
Who is Slick Willie?
President Clinton.
There you go.
Okay.
You know.
When President Clinton turned down the time to assassinate Osama bin Laden, why did we have a hit out on Osama bin Laden? You think it had to do with his activities toward the United States and other attacks that he had fomented and arranged? You think that might be it? And it did.
You said the 93 World Trade Center in 1993?
Absolutely.
The U.S.
and the embassy.
And the embassies. Absolutely. So my point is this. No, we had absolutely every reason to go after Osama bin Laden.
Before 9/11.
Before 9/11. But let me say this. No non-American should ever be on American soil to be tried.
In our courts.
To be tried in American courts.
Because he's not a citizen.
If you set up a court system, hold on, Alex. You can't try a
non-American citizen.
An international or a global person with American law. Because American law,
unless they are captured on U.S. soil.
Right. But if you're not captured on U.S. soil, then it's kind of hard for me to try you by U.S. law. That's why the Geneva Convention convened. But then we've made a mess out of a lot of things.
And
I'm winding this show down because we're done with the day, if y'all don't know.
I just got one more. Alex, you are aware that the Afghanis sold the mineral rights to the Chinese.
I did hear about that. But what we were interested in was the opium, not the minerals.
Absolutely. You know why we were interested in opium? Because the opium trade was arming Osama bin Laden.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
Hold on, Alex. Go ahead, Matt, because Matt wants to bring up something new before we end the day. Hi, Matt.
I just want food for thought here for a second, and think about it and give me an answer. I heard a story when I woke up this morning that Mayor Bloomberg had put out a statement stating about these drinks, these 64-ounce drinks, you know, that he's trying to get rid of. And he made the statement, well, you know, I'm not saying that you can't drink 64 ounces. I mean, you could go back and buy the smaller drinks more often. I'm just saying you can't get the big glass. My question is, where are the environmentalists on this with all these glasses that are going to be flying around? I'm just wondering.
They're in D.C. eating them lion burgers.
Listen, let me say something to that.
Taxes.
The more money they make.
Exactly.
Let me say this into this. I want everyone to look at the bait and shift of this. We have created an ignorant society that is breeding ignorance, who is uneducated and have no clue on how America actually works across the board. They can't even debate it because they don't know it. You have a mayor of a city, one of the largest cities in the United States of America, who's running around screaming about 62 and 32 ounce drinks when you got people dying on the street and an economy that is tanking every day. I just want us to really understand where our priorities and where our focus is. We need to make sure that we wake up, because what's happening is we are actually dealing with the minors when we ought to be dealing with the majors. The reason why the government is the way the government is because an uneducated electorate, in which the forefathers will tell you America does not run effectively on an uneducated electorate. We're not talking about degreed people. We're talking about people that understand how it works. They are keeping you asleep so that you will not ask the questions and you will put dumbos in that can say that we have to pass the bill before we find out what's in it. Not putting any disparity on anyone, but just so that you understand, that's the dumbest thing that's ever been said in political government.
No.
Any... That's not the dumbest?
No, she said something dumber than that today.
Well,
I'll tell you after the break and we can talk about it.
But we need to understand that what is happening is the destruction of your family, your moral fabric, and what you're calling right, wrong, and wrong, right. We didn't even get to some of the things that I really wanted to get to, but we'll do that before the week is out. America has to wake up and take the we the people back and put it in their heart. You're going to have to put God first, and then take America and pick it up and begin to carry it on your back as a patriot. Because what's happening is they are getting ready to put you into a gas chamber and you're going to take a bar of soap. It's just that simple. We may not be complete factually right here, but hopefully we will say things that will cause you to get on the internet and to begin to research some things and begin to make you think. You do not vote for people based upon, I think they're a nice person. Whether it be school board, whether it be mayor, city council, you need to find out what people do. You need to quit calling city council about the roads and call the road department.
You need to find out who does what. You need to quit calling the calling the governor about what's wrong with your school board when it's actually your local school board that comes around and gets a check every 2 weeks. You need to find out who does what and who you need to call to make things happen. And when they don't return your call, when they don't answer to you, then fire them.
So are the Build-A-Burgers responsible for the Lion Burgers?
No.
Yes, they are.
There we go.
They're responsible for Fuddruckers.
Yes, they are. And because of the ignorance and because of the lackness of America, I'm trying to tell you guys, they're breeding indigents. They're making it where you're more profitable being at home watching Snooki and American Idol than you are reading a newspaper, reading a book.
Do some research
out
there.
Are doing.
Yeah, look up the Build-A-Burgers.
I mean this.
Look up the Build-A-Burgers.
A mother of two kids, it's cheaper for her to stay home if she has a job making only $38,000.
That's what I'm saying.
Cheaper for her to stay home.
Guys, you really, really, really need to smell the coffee and to wake up because this is serious. And I promise you, I'm telling you. Yes, Al?
They would much rather have us sit at home and be mad with the Washington Redskins and make them change their names. They are going after the Washington Redskins full force, folks.
That's right. They're going after
to change the name.
They're going after Cleveland Indians, too, and Chief Wahoo.
And this same, Mayor Bloomberg is also sending out goon squads all over the country promoting his anti-gun agenda.
That's right.
Tell them to come to South Cat. We got some fellas out here to take care of the goons.
Hey, be careful.
I want to take them to the gun range.
They're getting ready to turn Colorado.
47 million people are receiving food stamps in America today. We are going to have to understand that we cannot allow them to take over our way of government. America is different than anywhere else in the world. And the reason why you're great is because you're different. But it is you are responsible for the decisions that you're making, and people are making decisions, and they're getting ready to destroy you. I promise you gas chambers are coming, but don't take soap.
That's more than 10% of the whole population.
I'm just saying.
I never thought that there would
play
be.
Something. Goodbye, guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless. Hey, tomorrow we're going to be talking about relationships, and it's going to be a deep conversation. We'll see you then. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Oh, no, you won't. We'll see you tomorrow.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Obama makes 3 trips to Capitol Hill this week to see members of Congress. The next step in his charm offensive to broker a budget deal? Yes and no, says ABC's Ann Compton.
The president's spokesman says the trips to Capitol Hill are not budget negotiations.
I wouldn't expect that they're going to trade paper on numbers.
Jay Carney says President Obama will be urging compromise.
His sincerity when it comes to his belief that we need to take action on our deficit.
Also on immigration, gun violence, and defense against cyber attacks. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Police in Washington State are looking for a man accused of killing his own grandparents this weekend. More from ABC's Alex Stone.
26-year-old Michael Boyson is accused of murdering his grandparents only hours after he got out of prison for robbery. After his release, police say he went to their home in Renton, Washington, south of Seattle, killed the two who were in their 80s and then took off in their car. Police believe he may now be looking for guns. They say he's been searching the internet for details on gun shows in Washington and Nevada. Alex Stone, ABC News.
10 Americans and at least 12 Afghans were wounded in today's gun battle that left two other U.S. service members dead, along with two Afghan policemen. A military jet from Naval Air Station Whidbey Island crashed in eastern Washington earlier today. The fate of a crew, not immediately known. No reports of damage from a 4.7 earthquake that rolled through a wide area of Southern California a couple of hours ago, centered about 100 miles southeast of Los Angeles. Alan Gordon felt it in Palm Springs.
I'm inside of a very large block building, and you could visibly see the pillars actually move with the quake.
Taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow is up 38, the NASDAQ up 5 points. This is ABC News.
When it comes to money, I often find myself lying awake at night, full of questions. Will we have enough in the college fund for the kids? Is this the right time to refinance the house? And what about taxes? Is there more to it than April 15th? More than just all those numbers? With everything we're responsible for, I need to know what those numbers mean. I just want us to be ready for our future. And hers. I wish we knew someone to talk to who we could trust. Someone who would be looking out for us to help us make sense of all this.
A CPA spends years preparing for moments just like these. When the right tax and financial advice is essential, talk to someone with an unmatched level of knowledge, experience, and education. Talk to a CPA. Visit 360taxes.org for information and to find a CPA in your area. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs Private Companies Practice Section.
Big honors tonight for some TV pioneers. More from ABC's Jason Nathanson in Hollywood.
We heard you have some tickets to the Rock and Roll Show.
It's not the Rock and Roll Show. It's the Television Academy Hall of Fame, and Ron Howard is one of the six guys getting inducted tonight in Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's great, Posse.
Also on the list, Law & Order creator Dick Wolf, sportscaster Al Michaels, CBS president Les Moonves, Face the Nation host Bob Schieffer, and the guy known as the father of television, Philo T. Farnsworth. They'll join the Hall's 120 or so members, which includes names like Lucille Ball and Katie Couric. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Fighting afternoon fatigue at the office, a Paramus, New Jersey investment firm, Nationwide Planning Associates, remodeled an unused closet with a recliner, a fountain, and a bamboo rug to provide nap time for employees. They can sign up for 20-minute blocks of restorative time twice a week and emerge energized as if hitting the restart button. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Affordable liability insurance from Safe Auto. For not a lot of money, you can protect yourself from your own mistakes. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe, spend less, Safe Auto.
If you own or operate a small to medium-sized business in our area, you'll want to listen to this message. On March 19th and 20th, News Talk 600 will be holding special and free branding workshops. The workshop is being held at Bruno's on Route 224 in Poland and is designed for business owners who want to make their advertising more effective. Plus, you'll have a chance to win a $500 gas card. To reserve your free seat, call Maria Fez at 330-783-1000.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really? What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
We really need jobs.
We've just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Imagine our kids begging and pleading to get you to buy more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Yes, this is possible.
We're not banning anything. It's called portion control.
It's legal to hunt humans with 15 rounds, 30 rounds, even 150 round magazines.
That doesn't save money. It's a trophy. It's a scalp. But it's not a solution.
Man, you guys are crack addicts. You really are obsessed with all this politics.
Freedom, freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, today's the last day, Scott Shannon. If you want a 32-ounce Big Gulp, go buy it, because as of tomorrow, the ban is in effect in New York. You hear the First Lady? Listen to what she said. Well, we're going to have children where they're going to be throwing tantrums to get fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
Imagine our kids begging and pleading, throwing tantrums to get you to buy more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Yes, this is possible. It is possible to create this world with more information, responsible marketing, with better labels and product placement, with greater access and affordability. Yeah, that's what's possible.